move on with one of the most important functions of the Board of Public Works, the approval and oversight of hundreds of millions of dollars in public school construction funds. Today, we're going to vote on $218 million in state school construction funding. We recognize that with the magnitude of the storm, some school systems could not make it down here for their appeals in person because they're still digging out and working to reopen their facilities. We're not going to hold that against anybody. They've submitted their appeals in writing, which will be given every consideration, and they'll also have the opportunity to come back before the board in May. Education is our top priority. It's why the budget we submitted last week contains for the second year in a row record funding for K-12 education, totaling $6.3 billion investment. Over the past 2 years, we've increased K-12 education funding by $828 million. Last year, we were the first administration in history to ever put any money in GCEI in the first year. This year, I'll be the first governor in history to ever fully fund GCEI in the second year. Per pupil spending will go up in every single jurisdiction in the state. Earlier this morning, my administration announced several education proposals designed to create important educational opportunities for students in Maryland and deliver greater balance in the quality of education throughout the state. The Pathways in Technology Early College, High School, or PTEC education model is an innovative, nationally recognized approach that blends high school, college, and work experience into one. PTEC schools offer students an integrated 6-year education program that combines high school, college, and workplace skills required for the 21st century. And I also signed an executive order this morning creating the Maryland Early Graduation Scholarship, a new program that will make college more affordable for students that complete high school in 3 years. Under the program, eligible students will receive a $6,000 scholarship for tuition and expenses at any approved post-secondary educational institution in Maryland. While we're proud to make record investments in public education, we can't just celebrate for simply spending more money. We must be vigilant in overseeing how those dollars are spent and find ways to more effectively and efficiently deploy those funds to achieve the very best results for our students and our schools. So before we begin with Dr. Lever's overview of the 2017 Capital Improvements Program, we have two brief presentations on the very important topic of school construction and how we can make it less costly and more efficient in order to allow our limited state dollars to go even farther. First, we have Senator Andrew Serafini and former Delegate Leroy Myers, and then after that, we're going to have Commissioner John Barr of Washington County, who's the president of MACO. So I see standing at the podium already, Senator Serafini. Thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thank you, Mr. Governor.
Good morning.
Good to be here. Good to see you, Treasurer Kopp, Comptroller Francho. It's our privilege to be here, and I did hear you say brief because I know there's people behind us. So this presentation, if we can go to the next slide, is just to highlight some of the things that we all know. You have a packet in front of you, so you're welcome to look at it, or this is the slide we're going to go through presentation. We know what you did as far as funding in the capital budget, an extraordinary amount, and your commitment to continue that. This is not about cutting back funding. It's to be more efficient, I believe. Debt service is going to exceed the total amount that we pay for school construction, and that's a grave concern to a lot of us. And we're concerned about some of the incentives. Do they really incent us to be as efficient as possible? So, if you go to the next slide. We know what's coming in the future. Disruptive technology is going to really change how we teach. It's already happening at the higher levels, and we think it's going to continue. We also appreciate what you just talked about with PTEC and using apprenticeship programs. And we think blended schools or flipped classes are things that, as they impact us in the future, education is going to look very, very different. Next slide, please. So we ask the question, which do we want to do? Do we want to build very, very nice schools, or do we want to build, as was described the other day, bells and whistles and luxury? And this is no criticism of what's happened in the past. It's just an issue that we want to start asking ourselves. I drive a Buick. I'm very happy to do that. I know I could have bought two Lexus for that, but I just chose not to. Oh, yeah, two Buicks for one Lexus. So that's what we're asking for. So let's go through and say, can it be done? So this is the issue. Do we consider changing it to a per pupil? Next slide, please. This is looking at some different programs. And these, for the most part, other than the Florida program, are in our state. These are existing. Grace Academy was built by the two gentlemen behind me, and they're going to talk about that in a second. Barbara Ingram School is an initiative that happened in Washington County as well. Very collaborative public partnership. Everybody in this room probably has been to Monarch at least twice. We know that Florida does a frugal high school program, and then you can see Frederick and Allegheny. And the issue is, what are we paying per pupil? If we go to the next slide, how can we do this? What are some things to consider? Standard building design. These guys are going to talk to that about you. Delegate Myers, when he was here before he was a county commissioner, spoke about this. How do we look at per pupil versus square foot? How do we look at life expectancy? How do we understand flexibility of corporate buildings, of any buildings, and understand that as things change, how can we create flexibility? We think alternative financing is something to be done. So if we look at the next slide, this is Monarch. Monarch was built, and the per student cost is about $12,000. If you've had a chance, beautiful school, wonderful school, functioning quite well. We go to the next slide. This is Barbara Ingram. This is a public-private partnership, and this had the extra benefit of economic development to downtown Hagerstown. Very powerful, very unique. Our school system will be up here in a couple, and they can talk if you have questions on that. That one's at $58,000. This is Grace Academy, built in 2001. Full-size gym, classrooms, built for what would today be $6 million, houses 350 students at a cost of about $17,000. The next slide. This is Florida's program. Florida program says it should be between $20,000 and $30,000 per pupil when they do that. If local jurisdictions decide to go over, that's their choice, but that's the system that Florida has been using very successfully for about 6 or 7 years ago. If we go to the next slide, this is unfortunately what happens with the way things are built today. And once again, not trying to be critical, it's the reality. And you see here that this is going to cost us about $75,000 per student. These gentlemen will talk about that. And finally, Frederick High School is
the
next
one. You can build three schools instead.
Well, that's the hope, sir, and that's why we're here. The next one is Frederick High School, and you can see there that's going to cost about $82,000 per student. If we flip to the next slide, this is the point I want to make. This is not a new conversation. This is a presentation from a MACO conference in 2009. And they were asking then, why are we costing so much more to build schools? They compared themselves to Virginia at about one-third for a fully comparable school. So it's not a new conversation. It's something that this time's come. So finally, we want to say standard building design, we think, is something to consider. It happens in West Virginia, California, and otherwise. There's standard building designs. You can flip them. You can change the color of the brick, but they are pretty standard. Per pupil versus square foot, we need to consider how long we're going to need these buildings and look at alternatives. With that, I will turn this over to my colleagues here, and they can speak further.
Thank you, Senator.
Good morning.
Commissioner.
Thank you all for having us and hearing. As you all know, I'm a general contractor. I've done this all my life. And probably my niche is not in school construction, but it's in building car dealerships. And I say that because I dare say that anyone in this room who has recently bought a car would go into, whether it's a Lexus dealer, Mercedes, Buick, GM, Honda, and they're all starting to look the same. And the reason for that is that the private sector has finally got it. They know how. They've standardized the construction of these buildings. Some are small, medium, and large, which kind of relates to the fact of how we don't need maybe a 2,000 seat high school in Allegheny County, but of course they're proposing about 1,000 seats. But they've taken the thought process out of something and standardized it. Where I dare say that when my people go in to build these car dealerships now, they know where the right, where the left, what's coming up, what should be done first, last, and so forth. And it's not always a new adventure. whenever we go into, we look at a school construction, I think that if we were taking this serious, a friend of mine, which is one of my subcontractors, he just got finished his 20th school in Loudoun County. And they were elementary schools. And back when he started these, they told him they're going to have 20 of the same school built. Like Senator Serafini said, the brick color changed. Maybe the roof's a different color. Nothing that's going to cost more money. But what they did, he said on about the fourth or fifth school, his people could look at the glass, the windows coming off the truck, and knew where they were going to go on that job site. And as a result, as they progressed through the build-out of these contracts, he was not only able to get the contract every time, but able to do it for a lesser price. Other things that come into factors is the large items like the HVAC, the switchgear, things that are large costs. We have people like Sam's Club, the Walmart group, whether it be Staples and whatever. They buy these items direct. I dare say that the state of Maryland could do the same thing. They could purchase this and deliver it to the site. And what's that do when it comes to the efficiencies of the HVAC? Not only does Walmart know that they have one type system in all their stores, but they know where to go get the parts and pieces to repair them very quickly because they're not scrambling around to see which one was used on which job. And, you know, this can be done, I believe, in the school construction as well. Now, we go up to Allegheny County. We built a school there for $40 million about 7 years ago, maybe eight. And what would be wrong with taking that footprint, which works very well up there at Mountain Ridge, I might say, and they're very proud of the school. But no, we try to redevelop, re-engineer, the architectural brand new because we're going out here trying to give them something that they want to see that best suits the application. If you remember, and I remember with my dad who just passed away this past fall, whenever I was young, we were out on jobs in Thurmont, Hagerstown, Frederick, and different places in Western Maryland, and every one of the footprints on those schools, I don't know if you remember this or not, Dr. Lieber, way back, we had the same footprint of a lot of the elementary schools in the state. And by the way, the state paid for all of it, too. You didn't probably have these meetings. So why can't we be using the same architectural plans? And yes, you have to, you know, I know there's laws. You have to redraw them. You have to fit the application for the location they're at with snow loads and different, the areas that you're in the state of Maryland. But why don't we go and pull one off the shelf and redo that? Why don't we as a state look forward and saying we can build 10 schools for the cost of 8 or maybe more? I believe it can be done if we take a serious look at it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good
thank
morning,
you
President Mako. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Commissioner Barr.
It's an honor and a privilege to serve as President of Mako. As a subcontractor, I can give you an even more specific and detailed overview of what I see as an electrical contractor. My company is based in Hagerstown. We have 150 employees, and we do bid on a lot of school projects. We have worked in Loudoun County School, as has been previously mentioned here. We're two of the elementary schools that we worked on. There were just mirror images of each other. Once again, our employees knew exactly what, where, and how, and we didn't argue and fight with lighting reps and other components because they took all that venue out of it, whereas a recent school in our community, an elementary school, the electrical specs, I dare say, are probably that thick. I think I met with the Board of Public Works back in early December and brought that book with me to show them. Even further in that, some of the light fixtures are just horribly expensive. There's little opportunity to question or get competitive bids on them because the light reps specifically to that job have done their homework with the designers, and you can't deal with them. Even further, in that particular specification, what I found was the data and computer wiring was almost 30% of the overall electrical, which included the switchgear, the lights, the power to all the HVAC. And in my mind, as an electrical contractor, that was just out of line. And one of the reasons for that, it had a 25-year written guarantee to the computer wiring that was specific and germane at that time for that school. And I'm sure many in this room realize that we don't wire schools in the data world today like we did 5 years ago. And I dare say that 5 years from now, with wireless technology and all the things that are coming before us so quickly, I doubt that even 5 years from now, the wiring that was installed most recently. So why have a 25-year written guarantee? And I can assure you the cost factor for that that was set aside or anticipated is absolutely horrible and very expensive and, in my mind, even sinful. So.
Thank you. Any questions of any of the presenters this morning? Well, thank you all very much for taking the time. I appreciate you being here. You know, I can't stress enough how important it is that we find more cost-efficient ways to build our schools. I think there's not a person in this room that wouldn't want to see us build 150 schools instead of 100 schools. And if we can do it with the same amount of money, it certainly makes a lot of sense to me. And there's things that we have to take a look at. Cost crunching and figuring out how to do it more cost effectively, as other states have. It makes no sense that Virginia can build schools one third less than we can. Sorry, good morning.
Thank you so much, Governor. My name is Robin Clark, and I'm the research director with MACO. We just wanted to say, on behalf of the organization, thank you for the opportunity to bring this discussion up today. We are deeply committed to this issue, and we will sit at any table where you're having this as a topic of discussion.
Great. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate MACO's involvement, and I want to thank the commissioner and the senator and both commissioners. Thank you all very much. Thank MACO for their efforts.
Could I just thank the governor also for doing this? I think it's a... It's going to be a well-trodden path. And I'll just add that the schools that are going to be built for less money per square foot in the future are going to be much more beautiful. They're not going to be the same old brick structures that, you know, just don't appeal to anybody. You can build a beautiful school for a lot less per square foot cost. And I'm looking forward to Maryland doing that and really thank MACO for its capability of pushing this issue forward. What, Mr. Barr, is, in your opinion, the chief impediment to the state moving forward?
I think there's a lot of issues adding uniformity to the bid specifications and the design. Working with the individual counties to collaborate together and use more efficient building standards.
Well, exactly. I mean, what we have is standardization does not mean cheap.
No.
Standardization, in our eyes, looks at something like Mr. Barr saying, that we go into the next school and the next school. It doesn't give anybody more of an unfair, but when we spec out things that, by the way, like he was talking about the cabling, that was 30% of what was the contract?
$1.5 million.
So $300,000-$400,000. That adds up very fast if you do it times a lot of schools. And the thing is, we're having to put warranties and standards that we'll never see. The schools, you know, they don't last that long. Something happens that we're out here 50, 60, 70 year specs and guarantees and warranties that are not needed. And that adds a lot of cost.
Well, I want to thank Delegate Meyer, former Delegate Meyer. I know that we worked together, and Senator Serafini and Commissioner Barr. And I just want to tell you, in the Democratic Party, there's a thirst for this. How can we do better?
Let me speak to that real quick. Senator Rosenpep has really been leading the charge on this a lot, too. And we know that President May, Donna Brightman, is a Democrat. So this is not a partisan issue. This is both sides saying, how can we help our kids? How can we replace these schools? So it definitely, this is not a partisan issue. And one other thing I would say is some of this is not just the construction side of it. It is the curricula. It is what's required to teach and certain things like that. We've got to step back and look and say, are there different ways to incorporate technology and other things? I had a gentleman say he could double this population of his school without adding a brick just by using technology and doing different things, using the apprenticeship program. So that innovative side on the curricula is just as important as what we're talking about doing with the construction side as well.
Could I just add, as somebody who chaired a commission on which the executive sat about 15 years ago, that those goals are the same as that commission's goals. The world has changed around us. Technology has changed around us. And personally, I think it makes great common sense to look at the issue again of how best to construct the schools and what and how to organize the school construction program most efficiently for our state.
Yeah, we don't care how we got here. It's just how we're going to go from here. That's the next step.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
If I, the standard we have is, and we have many schools behind us, they come here asking for funding for their next project. The next thing they do is go out and hire an architect. The school boards, they never, ever include someone from the construction side as they travel through, and as I call it, the three-legged stool. One thing in design, build, construction, which I mostly do, is when the owner, the architect, and the builder all are at the same table, and we move forward together because we have the practical experience. We know what works and what doesn't, what's expensive, maybe might be a better way, which, by the way, the architects are flooded with ideas. But like my dad said, every time that building makes a corner or does a little different twist and bend, it's architecturally appealing, but it's very costly when it comes to the bottom line. Very costly.
Great. Well, thank you all very much for your presentations. Thanks for taking the time. I guess, Madam Secretary, we're going to get started with the school appeal. So I believe first up is Frederick County.
Thanks. Good morning and thanks. I feel like I got a great welcome there since Frederick's up first here and we got to make the screen there on our costs. As you know, my name is Brad Young. I'm president of the Board of Education for Frederick County. Today I'm accompanied by Ray Barnes, who's our chief operating officer for Frederick County. Jan Gardner, who is our county executive. I did want to acknowledge also that Sarah Perez, our student member of the Board of Education, is here as well.
Welcome,
with us.
Sir.
We are here today to appeal for the additional funding for school construction projects, the highest priority of which is what you just saw there at Frederick High School. I do want to state that in Frederick County, we have been using prototype designs. The last three high schools that we built were the same design. The last elementary school that we built will be the same school that we'll build the next several schools up. Frederick High was a little bit unique because of the property that it was on. The prototype design that we had would not fit or work on that particular property because of the amount of ground that we had, floodplain issues, and other issues. We could not build it there. So that's certainly why it is our intention to use prototype buildings. And I think statewide that makes a lot of sense to look at. So right now that project is on schedule. It's scheduled to open up in August of 2017. And I can tell you that community is extremely excited. It's a long overdue project. If you've been in the old Frederick High, it is not only unsafe in many ways, but it's certainly woefully neglectful of having the technology that we should have and many of the other things that we have in our newer school. So we're happy to see that Frederick High is going to get the new building. We're also working hard to balance the need of new space in other parts of the county, as well as renovate many other old schools in our county that are in desperate need of renovation. We recently completed the renovation of Lincoln Elementary, West Frederick Middle, and rebuilt the North Frederick Elementary School, and currently rebuilding Frederick High School. These were all schools that target some of our most needy students that we have, some of the highest poverty areas in our county. As part of our appeal, we're also requesting the additional funding to address our need for more elementary school space. The new Sugarloaf Elementary School will address overcrowding of schools in the Urbana area, and the Butterfly Ridge School will address the overcrowding on the west end of Frederick. We have several schools in both of these areas that are at 140% of capacity. One school at one point had 27 portables at that particular site. In both systems, again, there's an enormous challenge to these communities trying to handle all those students with facilities, cafeterias that were built not to handle those kinds of populations. We've looked at redistricting. Again, the way, unfortunately, a lot of times things happen, you have extra space, but it may be in a different part of the county that it's not easy to redistrict. Urbana area is obviously a fast-growing area. And will continue to be, and we know that space is needed there, as well as on the west end of Frederick. We do want to acknowledge and thank our local government support for Frederick High School project and their willingness to forward fund the money needed to begin construction of it. We understand the burden of rising costs for constructions, and we appreciate that, but in the face of this challenge, our students have to be given top priority. We feel strongly that our ability to provide a proper academic environment and instructional programs is incumbent upon having decent facilities. In Frederick County, we're doing our part. The state has done its part, and we hope to continue to be an active partner with you in achieving the goal of making sure that we have adequate school space for our students and that we go back and address the space that needs to be renovated. I know Comptroller Franco has been very complimentary in the past of our maintenance of our facilities. We try to do a good job. We know that, again, putting money into keeping your facilities up makes them last longer. Again, we have many facilities that are 40, 50, 60 years and older that have been in operation, so we're trying to do our best to maintain and make our facilities last as long as they can. With that, I'm going to turn it over to the Chief Operating Officer of Frederick County Public Schools, Mr. Ray Barnes.
Thank you.
Good morning, Governor Hogan, Treasurer Kopp, Comptroller Franco. I'm here on behalf of Superintendent Alvin, who's under the weather, couldn't make it today. But we appreciate the opportunity to appear before the Board of Public Works to request additional state construction funding for the new Frederick High School, for Sugarloaf Elementary School in the Urbana area, and for Butterfly Ridge Elementary School on the west side of Frederick City. First, on behalf of Superintendent Alvin, we want to take the opportunity to thank the board for past funding approvals. We've been able to complete many needed projects with your support, and we also appreciate the FY17 funding recommendation that the IAC has presented for your consideration. However, we ask that the level of state funding for Frederick High School be increased for FY17 closer to the amount that was requested by the Board of Education. This is our top priority request. With the funding provided from the state of Maryland last year, or the current year, FY16, as well as with the funding provided by Frederick County, we have initiated the construction of the new Frederick High School. The existing Frederick High School building is the oldest high school building in our system. Major sections of this building date to its original construction in 1939, 76 years ago. Other sections were completed in the 1970s. However, there have been no major renovations since that time. Frederick High has the highest farm percentage of any high school in the county. It is also the high school with our largest number of students receiving ELL instruction. The school has strong traditions and a dedicated school community, eager to take on the challenges that this community faces. We are on track to open for students in August of 2017, and the entire community is looking forward to completion of this new school. Our needs go beyond Frederick High School. We want to bring to your attention two elementary school projects that we've requested funding for. The first is Sugarloaf Elementary School in the Urbana area. This is along the I-270 corridor, one of the fastest growing areas of Frederick County. Enrollment growth in this area has outpaced our ability to provide space. The other elementary schools serving this area are both overcrowded. In addition to this new elementary school in Urbana, we have the substantial need for additional space on the west side of Frederick City. This area of Frederick City is challenged by language barriers and poverty that are exacerbated by overcrowding at the schools that serve this community. I just want to say that both these projects, elementary school projects, are completing the design, nearly complete. I also want to say that both these sites were donated. The Urbana Elementary School, the new Sugarloaf Elementary School site, was donated by a developer, so there were no land costs involved in the purchase of the site for this project. The Butterfly Ridge site was dedicated by the City of Frederick, so we appreciate the City of Frederick providing this land for this school, and there were no costs to the FCPS for this particular site. Finally, I just want to note there are several systemic renovation projects that we've requested funding for. These are itemized in our testimony that we prepared and presented for your consideration today. In conclusion, we understand that the cost of new school construction has increased in recent years. We certainly look forward to working with the state and the other LEAs in evaluating how best to respond to this important challenge. We appreciate the comments that were made by the folks from Washington County just before us. Frederick County has assumed a substantial financial burden, and they have forward funding many of our new school construction projects. We recognize the importance of Frederick County's efforts to help us cope with growth in students and with our aging schools, and we urge your support of the projects we've submitted today. Thanks for your time and consideration, and I want to introduce our County Executive, Jan Gardner, has a few remarks that she would like to make as well.
Let me welcome County Executive Gardner, and thank you for coming. We want to hear a brief remarks from you, but I would just remind you that if you were in the classroom, the bell rang a long time ago. We have to keep these presentations to 10 minutes, otherwise the other counties won't get their chance. We have a hard stop on this day, so keep an eye on the secretary here. She keeps flashing, time's up, stop please, and people keep talking. So the county executive, we're going to give you a chance. We want to tell the rest of you, keep your presentation to 10 minutes or we will cut you off. So plan your presentations accordingly. We can have three different people give long speeches.
Thank you. I'll try to make my portion as quick and direct as possible. First, I do want to thank you for having us today and for the funding commitment to education on the operating side as well as to our school construction side. I do want to say as the county executive that I am committed to the projects that were presented by the Board of Ed, and I'm committed to funding the county financial share, which is easier said than done. I do want to make two other points. The cost share for Frederick High School. We were cost-shared at a lower cost per square foot from state funding because of a timing issue. Because we received our first round of funding in fiscal year 16 for Frederick High School, it locked our square footage cost share at a much lower rate than what it would be today. So that has cost us, in my opinion, about $8 million in state cost share. And I would really love to see some consideration of an exception made for that. I also want to talk about the challenges of our overcrowded schools in terms of kids. In Urbana, we have over 500 students attending school outside of a classroom building, and that is significant. I'm very concerned before we build that school, we will have schools at 160 or 170% of capacity, which is a public health, safety, and welfare issue. On the west side of the city of Frederick, at Hillcrest Elementary, we have over 300 students attending school outside of a school building, and we do have a high degree of poverty there. And, you know, I am the granddaughter of three immigrants to this country, and public education lifted my family. And I want to make sure, particularly in these schools, that public education remains the promise to our future generations so that they have equal access to the opportunities that public education can provide. So we are certainly concerned with costs, and I'm happy to volunteer to serve on any kind of work group you put together to study and the cost control of school construction. I was a member of the task force that was chaired by Treasurer Kopp, and I do have a lot of ideas on that.
Great.
So
thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, now we're ready for a Baltimore City.
Could I ask you a question?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Frederick, I just wanted to ask a question. Apparently, Dr. Lever is informing us that the cost of school construction in 1 year has gone up $75 per square foot. It's now a whopping $336 per square foot. How much is the new Frederick High School going to cost per square foot? I think you mentioned that you're under construction.
Right. Well, on a cost per square foot basis,
With site included.
With site included, we're at about $330 a square foot. So we're pretty much in line with what's being recommended.
So what have you done to mitigate that?
Well, we've been in discussions recently with all of the contractors who've been awarded bids, and we've been going through a process of value engineering specific changes to the specifications of the project, which is going to help lower the cost. And we're in that process now, and we're hopeful that we can bear some fruit based on those discussions and negotiations.
Has your team visited the much commented on Monarch Academy?
Yes, I have.
And what was your assessment there? Because that was probably half the cost of the new Frederick High School per square foot.
There were some advantages to the Monarch site. I mean, from my standpoint, I think the pre-engineered approach to building construction has some value, and we should be investigating it, particularly at the elementary school level. I think there's more of an opportunity there to do that than maybe at the high school level. I think as an organization locally and at the state, they've made some compromises that we'll have to decide whether or not this is something that we also want to compromise on. I also want to say that the Monarch project was bid more or less privately. So some of the procurement regulatory requirements that a local government, an LEA, would have to abide by were not present at the time that they put out bids for this project. So that assisted enormously, I think, in reducing some of the costs.
Sure.
Yeah. We have a few other unique costs with the school, like we're demolishing the old school, which, you know, we do have to pay for. And we do have a stream of Carroll Creek that runs through the property that needs a stream restoration. So there's some unique things that have added to the cost there.
Well, I want to compliment Frederick on its maintenance program, because you have schools that are just as old as schools in other parts of the state that have been superbly maintained, and they're still viable. They may need to be replaced because of their old age, 80, 90 years old. I understand that, but compared to other jurisdictions, you guys get a lot of superior ratings and a lot of good ratings as far as maintenance, because you take care of what you have.
We do. Thank you for that. We'll continue to do that.
Thank you. Baltimore City. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Or morning. I don't know what time it is.
It's a good day.
It's a good day.
Governor Hogan, certainly, Madam Treasurer Kopp, Comptroller Francho, certainly our State Superintendent, Dr. Smith, Dr. Lever, and also members of the IEC. This is really a pleasure to be with you today. I'm joined on my right with Ms. Young Anthony, who has the responsibility of the 21st Century Plan. I want you to know, Governor, we're on time. We're meeting the deadlines, and we think you're going to be very proud to have one of the largest, construction programs in the nation moving in a really great direction. On my left, certainly, is Keith Scroggins. I'd like to begin by certainly thanking the IEC for the recommendation, certainly the 12 approved projects. The total allocation is $25.6 million based on 75% of the governor's budget. I respectfully certainly would like to submit an appeal to the IEC designee for the second round of funding and recommendations to the district for fiscal year 2017. This appeal addresses 28 deferred opportunities that we think we have for certainly our children. I understand two major renovation projects are pending review, and we're certainly optimistic about that. In the past, I want to certainly express my gratitude and bring you some really good news. Governor, the last time we stood in this position, I think you were in the job about a month, and I was in the job about 3 months. And we're relatively new. And I made some promises to you with respect to certainly how maintenance, and I think Mr. Francho certainly has certainly spoken to that with respect to Frederick County. And what we have to certainly be good stewards. So our promise operations team will certainly work very hard, and I'm pleased to say that's in place. I'm pleased to say the support management structures are certainly in place, and maintenance or ongoing CIP projects are there. And we've really begun a really strong focus around prioritization and sequencing of projects and coordination. And as a result, I think it certainly will position us, certainly for our children, to have wonderful opportunities to go to school. I'd like to thank the IEC for supporting the work to address the prioritization. I've crunched the data, and I think you'll be very pleased with the bandwidth in which we certainly have how we minimize bandwidth, certainly with many of our projects and supports to allow really great work. Just to give you an example, this resulted in a reduction in square footage of 177,000 FY14 to 127,000 in FY16. And what you're able to do is actually create a greater degree of concentration and certainly support as we continue to move forward. The board is committed to the infusion of $3 million additional each year. One of the challenges we had that our office was not funded at an appropriate level. I'm pleased to say we not only did we commit to the three last year, the three is in the budget next year and will continue to be added till we get to $27 million after doing benchmarks of comparable districts with our size. It resulted in a 53 school decrease with respect to how we support schools on teams. We're now down to 16. I think we're going to be positioned, hopefully, to continue to do the work that we know we're capable of doing. I'm pleased to say we didn't have a management system. Governor, you asked me, did you have one last year? You recall, and I said we don't. I'm pleased to say we're working with certainly our IAC partners, the Maryland Stadium Authority, who's been a great partner to us. We have selected a vendor called School Dude. I thought they made the name up, but it's a great name. But it's working for us, and to implement a computerized maintenance system, a management system, because it's not often what you build, it's what you take care of. And I think the comments that were made, and we have to do a really great job with that. The CMMS will be a key component for us as we continue to move forward, where we can look at key performance indicators, and we can judge our progress, and we can make certainly mid-course corrections as we continue certainly to move on. So as we continue to move forward, I'm really concerned about facilities management, and we actually we're part of our team is working tirelessly to address all the areas. And I'm pleased to say our ratings went up. However, they're not up far enough. The ratings were overall adequate in all reports, but I want you to know I disaggregated those results. I looked at areas that were not at adequate, and we've done a really strategic intervention to be certain that those overall ratings will continue to move forward. I was very enviable to hear Frederick County that they were superior. That's the place we want to be as an organization, having the oldest facilities, I think, in the state, which is very, very important. And we do have the oldest. I remember, Governor, we talked about this building being one of the oldest. I think you beat us by a few years with respect to Poly as we continue to move forward. Prioritizing fire and safety is very important to us, the safety of our young people. And as we continue to move forward, those are things that will be inculcated in the work that we certainly will continue to do. We're working to address those challenges with IAC. And as a result, I'm really pleased to say that progress is being made. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about air conditioning. I'm really encouraged by what took place. You know, I've been in several districts, and this is the first district I've been in that we didn't have central air conditioning in all our schools. So it certainly positions us to really do some things. Schools are no longer 180 days. They're year-round. And I have a very comprehensive summer program. I'm really interested in looking at year-round opportunities, certainly for our youngsters. And as a result of that, we think we'll be positioned to move forward. We've taken a look at several platforms, certainly an HVAC platform. I'm pleased to say five projects have been actually approved through our IAC. But we also have taken a look at potentially alternative strategies that we are certainly utilizing a consultant to do. I'm here to tell you that there are 1,940 classrooms that do not have air conditioning. I'm here also to say that as we continue to close space, we will certainly make good utilization, and we've done some work with respect to trying to cost out what those opportunities would be as we continue certainly to move forward. Lastly, but certainly the 21st Century Building, which I mentioned, that initiative is on task, on budget, and certainly moving forward, and hopefully I can get you back on time as we continue to move forward by answering any questions that you might have. And I would kindly extend my respect to certainly Lieutenant Governor Rutherford. I didn't see you sitting over there. Good morning, sir.
Well, Dr. Thornton, thank you for giving us that speed read.
All right.
That was keeping us on time, and you covered a lot of ground there. I appreciate you mentioning 21st Century Schools.
Yes.
You know, last month, this board approved the Stadium Authority to issue $320 million in revenue bonds to support renovation and construction for Palmer City Public Schools. This program authorizes the Stadium Authority to issue up to $1.1 billion in debt to support school construction and renovation in Baltimore City, and I appreciate you mentioning it, and I'm happy to hear that you feel like you're making progress and things are on track.
It's been tremendous progress. I think the work and partnership we've been able to do with Maryland Stadium Authority has certainly increased our bandwidth as an organization. And I'm very optimistic of the opportunities that lie in front of us. I'm on schedule. We're looking to actually have shovels in the ground. We're doing demolition now on two sites. And as a result of that, I think you'll be very, very proud of the fact, the state will be very, very proud of the fact that we're looking at 23 to 28. I'm also encouraged with some of the conversations we've had this morning. We have visited the Monarch site. We want more opportunities for our children. So as that continues to unfold, we'll be watching that very closely to look at ways in which we can certainly increase savings, because the more facilities that I'm able to build, I think we are in a better position to really attract young people, attract families, and begin to really bring life into communities. Sometimes the school is the only thing in the community. Governor, when we rode around, we talked about that. And when the school goes away, it certainly takes away, creates a sense of hopelessness that I think communities deserve.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate your testimony. I wonder if I could ask Mr. Scroggins a question.
Good morning.
Welcome. Pleasure to see you. On October 16th, 2013, at a Board of Public Works meeting, I called on you to put a box unit in every one of apparently the 1,940 classrooms. Is that the figure I heard?
Yep.
And provide relief within 6 months. You said you'd certainly look at every opportunity to put in air conditioning. So when I read this summer about Senator Bill Ferguson's outrage at the deplorable conditions of the newly merged Maritime Academy, New Era Academy in Cherry Hill on July 24, 2015, I was delighted to read that you had ordered 30 new window air conditioning units. And by Senator Ferguson's return visit in less than 2 weeks, thank God somebody is outraged. Okay, within 2 weeks later, on August 5th, 2015, you'd put in 27 new air conditioners. The moldy carpet had been removed, replaced with tile. The school was being painted and cleaned.
Well, I would say that Senator Ferguson visited the site prior to our beginning any work, and we did actually install about 32 window air conditioners.
Fabulous. Congrats. What about the 1,940 classrooms that currently lack?
Mm-hmm. We're studying that. We have a consultant who's working with us. We're looking at that building was actually equipped to handle the air conditioners that we installed, but we're looking at all of our buildings because many of them will require some energy, some power upgrades. We have to look at just all of the different things that are needed, and we're doing that right now. We expect to have an indication within 30 days of what we'll be able to do. But we're studying this issue also. We're looking at funding, where we'll be able to get funding.
But that's what you said 3 years ago.
Actually, 3 years ago, I said we were moving forward with central air for many of our buildings. In our CIP this year, we had 5 projects that were approved out of the 13 that we submitted. The remaining 8 will certainly be in the CIP next year. As they were B rated and some were C rated, but we will certainly meet with the IAC to see what is needed in order to get those.
Well, Mr. Scroggins, I have a lot of respect for you. There are many challenges in Baltimore City. The maintenance program, frankly, is in chaos. I would describe it as that. I just, I'm happy to be here, but to have you say again that, frankly, you prefer central air conditioning, I take it, is the response?
I prefer central air conditioning,
okay.
but
do you know how invasive the installation of central air conditioning is? How long it takes? How much it costs? How
Absolutely.
Many years and decades?
It's longer lasting, and, I mean, if we're still moving forward with the air conditioning units, we're meeting regularly, and if that is what we have to do in order to speed up the process.
Okay, let me just urge you, that is what you have to do, and I'd like to have every Board of Public Works meeting an email from your staff as to how many of those 1,940 classrooms now have air conditioning units. You just corrected me and said you put in 32 units within 2 weeks. Seriously. Let's move forward. Every 2 weeks, I'm going to ask somebody from Baltimore City to tell me how many, 1,940, how many have a box unit in it, just like New Era Academy, Maritime Academy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a new day. Let's just move. Do it. The people want it.
Okay.
Okay, meaning...
I'll certainly confer with my boss.
Okay. He's conferred. We certainly understand the urgency. We will move in an expeditious way. The reality of it is, it certainly is more ideal certainly to have total units, but the reality, it just takes too long. And the period in which we would get their children would suffer. You know, I'm struggling certainly with air conditioning. I'm also struggling with heat. So at the end of the day, we will move very expeditiously. We'll set aside a platform to certainly get us without 2020, and I would basically interval move them up forward. And that's a 48-month. I should be there. That was my original thinking.
Yeah, but that's for the central air you're talking.
The 2020 was based – the central air, HVAC, was the 2024. I want to accelerate that.
I want to utilize the 21st Century Initiative actually to build in the HVAC units that we move forward. Every time we do a renovation, we get there. We're looking at in the next 36 months, which will be FY 2020, hopefully to be in a really good place with respect to our air conditions.
Well, that's three years from now.
Right. But $17.9 million as well. And certainly, if I depleted my CIP dollars, I certainly could advance that. So what I would certainly
do. Can I just interrupt for a second?
Sure.
I hate to be frustrated here, but we've just dealt with this issue. You need to put box air conditioning units in these classrooms. If you don't do it, it's a dereliction of duty. Come on. You just told me you put 32 in one school in 2 weeks. Get going.
We will. We believe it's needed. We believe we will move as quickly as possible. The only challenge up here, it's more technical, is having the wires to go to the units to actually drive them.
Right. Get Anne Arundel to come up. They had the same problem. Yeah. They took the line right from the outside. They didn't go in and try to overload the current system. They put an additional line in at where the electricity came into the school. Sure. They put it up. They did it, and it took weeks, not years.
We hear the urgency, and we will move quickly.
Could I just say, I said when I voted for the item that I hoped it was not the beginning of a slippery slope of this board becoming the state school board. And I reiterate that. I think to make the process open and allow all alternatives is fine. I think to take over the function of the local school boards, the local governments, and the IAC is moving in the wrong direction.
But I don't think the comptroller is suggesting taking over the local school system. I think the comptroller is saying if we're going to allocate hundreds of millions, in fact billions of dollars to local governments, that we ought to be able to tell them how to spend it. And the fact that we have 30,000 kids in two different jurisdictions, Baltimore City and Baltimore County, without air conditioning is simply unacceptable to this board. And we've all decided that it's a priority that needs to get fixed.
No,
and waiting 7 to 10 years for central air is not the solution. We're not going to wait. The kids are not going to wait 10 years. We're going to get it done now. We've already decided that. So it has nothing to do with taking over the function of the local board. It's a directive from the Board of Public Works that will be answered and will be listened to.
Governor?
That's a fact.
That may be an interpretation of the fact.
That's the fact. That's what the motion was
Governor,
for. That's what the decisions that were made.
No. Let me just say I voted for a motion to allow the IAC to consider room air conditioning.
I can tell you that the comptroller is not going to allocate more money to jurisdictions that don't solve this problem. And neither will I.
That is exactly what I fear. Could I just ask one question on another subject? You said, Mr. Superintendent, that the rating of the maintenance was going up. That actually is not the numbers that we have before us, and we have a large proportion of non-adequate maintenance. I don't want to go into this right now, but I'd like you to address that. There are a lot of problems. Air conditioning is one of them, but hardly the only one.
Ma'am, yeah. When I looked at the overall aggregate, it had improved. However, I attempt to acknowledge that the fact that we need some improvement in other areas, and those are the areas that we're working on individually now. And I think a lot of the mechanisms that are necessary to do that type of review are in place.
That's great. Could I see your response to this particular chart? Not now.
Okay, sure. We'll be glad to.
Focusing particularly on the non-adequate.
No problem.
Thanks.
No problem.
Any other questions, Baltimore City?
Yeah, no, I just want to suggest that what we're talking about here is putting your kids in front of your process. We're not suggesting taking something over or ordering you to do something. We're just incredibly frustrated when we read things like I just read to you several times. So please, go get the job done. Put these units in. Figure it out. Bring Anne Arundel up if you need help.
Got it.
And, you know, we're talking weeks. And it's cold now. It snowed a lot. It's going to get warm very quickly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One more hand.
So good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Lieutenant Governor, I want to recognize you as well. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today following my colleague in Baltimore City. I'd be remiss if I didn't recognize a couple of members of our delegation who've joined us today. We have Delegate Steve Lafferty, who's chair of the Baltimore County delegation here with us today, and Delegate Charles Sidner, who's here with us as well.
Good afternoon.
We also have a member of our Board of Education, Kathleen Causey, who's joined us today, too. So thank you, Ms. Causey, for being here. I welcome the opportunity to speak
before,
to the board.
Before you get started, could you please tell us about the, give us an update on the Parkville roof collapse?
Yes, sir. Thank you for asking about that.
We're all concerned about that. I know you're working hard on taking a look at the issue.
We are, and I appreciate you asking, Mr. Governor. I got an update this morning about Parkville Middle School. It's not as bad as it seems, but it is a roof collapse. With the historic snowfall that we received, to only have one school that was impacted is a tremendous help for us. But we have crews there. We've actually brought an on-site engineer there as well, too. So we're hoping that whenever we can get students back in school, hoping we can get them back in school ASAP, that cafeteria will be functioning for our kids. So thank you for asking, Mr. Governor. But I do welcome this opportunity to appear and to share some of the progress that's happening in Baltimore County Public Schools around our facilities, and to thank you to the IAC for funds that have already been allocated to us. As all of you know, the IAC has allocated roughly nearly $29 million already to the school construction program for Baltimore County, and this allows us to complete the renovation and addition at Dumbarton Middle School that includes central air conditioning, and complete the construction of two replacement schools that allows us seats and central air conditioning at Relay Elementary School and Westtown Elementary School. And it also provides us partial funding for air conditioning at 8 elementary schools and 1 middle school. So we appreciate this generous support, but our initial request of $59.3 million, which realizes the cash flow amount needed for fiscal year 17 projects to address additional seats and air conditioning, falls a little bit short. And so we're asking for you to look at giving us additional dollars for that. In Baltimore County Public Schools, we're facing the fact that we are having roughly 8,000 students over the next 10 years enrolling within our school system. And so as we've built out our school construction program, we're looking at three things. How do we add seats so that we get our students into comfortable facilities? How do we make sure that we modernize our schools to actually assist with air conditioning and technology upgrades? But also, how do we look at trade efficiencies, such as what was discussed earlier today? Baltimore County, we have a $1.3 billion Schools for Our Future program that will look at addressing all three of those. And so the fiscal year 17 request for us, for our county and state, includes central air for 18 schools. Local funding has actually allocated money to complete all central air projects by 2021, but we recognize the urgency to complete that sooner. Our unfunded projects with the highest priority includes Padonia Elementary School. This is a unique partnership where we partner with county government to where we created a community center, which is a gymnasium. We will then use that gymnasium as our school gymnasium and create classroom space out of the current gymnasium. So that's our biggest unfunded priority. The next two highest priorities includes the consideration of replacement of Victory Villa Elementary School and Lansdowne Elementary School. Again, getting seats and getting air conditioning for our students. Both schools are over capacity by 266 students, but by building replacement schools, we will increase our capacity by 831, alleviate overcrowding issues that we're having in our northeast and our southwest areas of our county. In addition, funding is also requested for four limited renovation high school projects that includes air conditioning, looking at Patapsco High School and Center for the Arts, Lansdowne High School, Woodlawn High School, and Delaney High School. We work with our county funding authority, and we actually have $80 million that was allocated in fiscal year 16 to begin that work. On the subject of air conditioning, and I appeared before this board 3 years ago having this conversation, and Mr. Comptroller, I appreciate the one-on-one meeting you and I had where you expressed your sense of urgency around this issue, as I have it as well, too. When I became superintendent, 71 schools lacked air conditioning within our school system. Over the last 3 years, that number has been reduced to 48 schools that lack central air conditioning. At the start of next school year, we'll have 37 schools that lack central air conditioning, but that is still too many. With the current funding request that's in front of you that matches our county capital request, at the 17-18 school year, we will have 16 schools that lack the funding for central air conditioning, and that's where we need to spend the 16 schools thinking about how we might solve that dilemma. I do have in my initial plans to include my FY18 and my FY19 capital budgets for not just the state, but also the county as well, too, to complete those air conditioning projects for those 16 remaining schools. On the area of maintenance, and this is where Mr. Comptroller and I have had conversations as well, along with you, Madam Treasurer, around it, Baltimore County Public Schools continues to address our aging infrastructure as well, and so the budget request that's in front of our Board of Education right now includes additional dollars to actually take care of our older facilities as well, too. In my January 5th letter that I sent to Dr. Weaver, and thank you for your support that I know was shared with the Board of Public Works, we want to make sure we address air conditioning as soon as possible. And I know we have several members of our community who are here with us today who've been working with me around revising our policy and our rule in terms of when we have to close, when we actually have heat that actually necessitates us actually closing schools for the day. But we recognize, Mr. Comptroller, that with the Board of Public Works taking action this morning, that a conversation should be had, because I know, as I shared with you, my initial position was I didn't want the county to divert money from other projects to take care of portable units. With the vote that was had today, I think that we need to have a further conversation, but I truly do appreciate the support of the Board of Public Works around our public school construction program in Baltimore County. Dr. Lieber, you've been phenomenal with us in terms of how we look at creating efficiencies for our buildings. We do have prototypes that we use in Baltimore County Public Schools for all of our projects, but we also look at value engineering and working with the county government as well, too. So with that, I would take any questions from the Board of Public Works. Thank you for your consideration of our appeal.
Thank you. Any questions? Questions?
Yeah, sure. I just want to start by recognizing my good friend Lily Rowe, who's in the back, along with a member of the school board, Kathleen Causey. Welcome. And I think Mr. Malia's there. He's a tech teacher at Lansdowne High School, and he testified at the last public forum that we held up in Baltimore County. So I was delighted to see the request for funding to renovate Delaney, Patapsco, Lansdowne, and Woodlawn High Schools in your request. Many of us, including Lieutenant Governor Rutherford sitting over there, visited Delaney High School at the invitation of parent advocate Jennifer Tarr. So we've witnessed brown, murky water flowing from drinking fountains and bathroom faucets. We've experienced the stifling heat students and teachers are subjected to for weeks on end. I've also heard directly from teachers and students of the other three high schools who are dealing with the same deplorable conditions. So as satisfying as it is to see these four high schools and your state funding request, I must express a few concerns. First, especially after reading Dr. Lieber's fiscal year 14 maintenance report, I'm apprehensive about the limited scopes of these renovation projects. Woodlawn's middle school 2010 renovation was determined to be excessively limited, despite costing $20 million. Because inspectors noted deficiencies in the electrical system, the water distribution system, the windows and the ceilings in January 2014. So, Dr. Dance, have you carefully weighed the long-term costs and benefits to determine if the scopes of these four high schools that I'm just renovation projects that I just praise you for are truly a sound investment of the taxpayer dollars?
Sure, and Mr. Comptroller, I appreciate you bringing that up. And this actually came up with our IAC meeting as well with Dr. Lee when he expressed that same concern. The end of this month, I will get the feasibility studies back from all four of those schools. I personally am involved in those. Particularly when those feasibility studies come back, we will have a further conversation, not just with the IAC, but also with our county government as well, too, to figure out what the feasibility study is saying versus what the budget amount is to figure out our way forward. But I know that Dr. Lee did express concern, Dr. Smith did as well, at the IEC meeting, that we may have to go back and look at those projects, particularly because of the scope of work that we know will need to happen.
Yeah, let me just mention one of them, because I mentioned Mr. Malia is here, who I believe he teaches at Lansdowne High School, one of the schools that you're asking. I think it's $30 million for partial renovation. I've been told by the PTA that they're going to get a new HVAC system. That's the mythical central air conditioning, you know, that's the goal, right? A renovated office and an elevator. But here's the problem. The school apparently is taking on water because it's sinking into a pond which it sits beside. So the county apparently is asking for $30 million to put into a school whose foundation is sinking into a pond. Are you really serious that there is not a shoring up of the foundation that's included in this $30 million request?
And Mr. Cutrell, I think what I'm going to be looking at is the feasibility studies that come back at the end of this month. Again, once that feasibility study comes back that says everything the school needs, then it's my job as superintendent to advocate, not just with this body, but also with the county government, to make sure the school gets exactly what it needs based on that feasibility study.
Okay. Well, all four of the schools apparently don't even qualify for a very meager $1 million requested, because they all have C classifications, which indicate that the technical issues, I guess you're alluding to, caused the IAC to recommend deferral of funding due to, and I quote, lack of planning approval and lack of design process. And I guess what I'm concerned about is what is the lack of design progress, and why are we moving forward before these projects are properly outlined? And will the document submitted to the IAC, isn't it going to be too late to secure the fiscal year 17 funding without those documents?
Sure. And to the comptroller's point, we don't believe it's going to be too late at all. Again, with the timing of having the feasibility studies back by the end of this month, we believe that we'll be able to position ourselves to get the needed documentation to the IAC. But we wanted to make sure the feasibility studies were in hand before we submitted anything to the IAC.
Okay, and how are you going to provide clean drinking water for each of these schools?
We work directly with our building operating supervisors to make sure that we work and address any type of flushing issues with our plumbing. However, we've been very clear that those four schools definitely need renovations that will include looking at the plumbing systems in those schools as well, too.
Okay. So in your letter to Dr. Lieber that you mentioned, you claim credit for several capital projects which provide 21st century learning environments for students, which include air conditioning. That's a direct quote from your letter. And on this list are new schools for Victory Villa Elementary, Lansdowne Elementary, even though both of these projects have not even been given planning approval due to a lack of design process. Just to be clear, I count schools as air conditioned when air conditioning has actually been installed and cool air is flowing through the classroom. For the record, can you tell us how many Baltimore County classrooms have actually had air conditioning installed over the past year, and how many more will have installation completed before the 2016-17 school year? I'm not talking about funding in place, that's a quote from your letter, or anything like that. I want to know how many more classrooms will actually provide safe, healthy environments for your students and teachers by the time the next school year begins.
Sure. And, Mr. Comptroller, I can get you the actual number of classrooms, but we will have 37 schools that will not have air conditioning at the start of the next school year. But I will follow up with the Board of Public Works and get you the number of classrooms.
Okay. So 3 years ago, you were here to ask for your fair share of the $25 million in additional state funds set aside for the fiscal year 14 air conditioning initiative. As you know, these funds were, and I'm quoting here, intended to be used rapidly and effectively in order to install air conditioning schools by the end of the summer. Your county executive came, I haven't seen him recently, but your county executive came prepared with statistics to indicate how many Baltimore County schools were on air conditioning compared with other districts, and even accounted for the 26 schools slated for closure in Baltimore City when he asked for, as I recall, 45% of that $25 million pie. And that was going to knock the percentage of schools without air conditioning down into the 20s. Well, Baltimore County was awarded $15.7 million, or about 63%. You certainly got your share of state support, but unfortunately, 3 years later, I'm still calculating 30% of your schools do not have air conditioning. In addition, that money was earmarked to install air conditioning by the end of the summer of 2014, and I'm utterly disappointed that several schools funded by that specific program remain un-air conditioned as we begin 2016. And that's specifically Hawthorne Elementary, Scotts Branch Elementary. What is going on?
Mr. Comptroller, I'll follow back up with you on those particular schools. I do know we were able to get about five schools air-conditioned with those dollars back in fiscal year 14, but I'll follow with you personally on those. I believe those are actually completed with Central Air. And if they're not, they will be completed at the end of this summer for the 16-17 school year. They're included within that 37 that we still have.
Okay. Well, every single time you come down, I ask how long the plan's going to take. Then I continue to hear from students and parents and teachers who are sick and tired of getting sick and tired from going to school. At least they have some magnificent board members. I mentioned Kathleen Causey. Thank goodness that you and your fellow board members made some motions to try to move this along. Thank you for your, you know, being a breath of fresh air. Okay, so I'm sure you recall standing here 3 years ago claiming it would cost $5 million to upgrade electricity and install window units in Westtown Elementary School. You described that as a Band-Aid and that you could completely renovate the school for only $5 million more. It just wasn't true.
So I don't particularly remember those comments from my very first year as Mr. Comptroller. And I would love to see that, but I don't necessarily remember saying that. What I've always said, my position has been, is that I don't want us to re-divert money from renovation and construction projects, because I know that in some cases when that happens, those schools may not necessarily get a renovation at all.
Let me just tag on to the Comptroller's comments here, because somehow there seems to be a disconnect in communication, and I just want to make it really clear. Waiting 7 years to fix the air conditioners with central air is not acceptable. We can't have 30,000 kids sitting in hot classrooms. So we understand that you don't feel that the window air conditioners are a good idea and you don't want to divert funds, but you know, kids sitting in the hot classrooms until 2021 is not acceptable. That's what we're telling you. We had some kind of communication out of the county. I don't see it in the request today, but they said, we can't fix the air conditioners for 7 years unless you give us nearly half of all the construction, school construction dollars in the entire state. And they want to tell everybody else in this room, you're not going to get any money. But that's not going to happen either. So since you're not going to get half the school construction for the whole state, and since we're not going to wait 7 years for central air, you're going to have to listen to this board and figure out a way to get the classrooms air conditioned, like 22 other jurisdictions have done. It's only your county and Baltimore City that have failed. So, you know, it's a lot of double talk going on. We want you to come back with a plan to get the kids out of the hot classrooms and not wait till 2021. That's the whole purpose of this whole debate today.
Yes, sir.
And the answers we've gotten out of your county so far have been completely unacceptable. Ludicrous, actually. Give us half the money in the whole state and we'll fix it. Otherwise, they're just going to have to wait till 2021. Nobody is going to accept that answer. You got to come back with a new plan.
Yes, sir.
In deference to the governor, I'm just going to fold my tent because I'm sick of bringing this subject up and receiving the kind of obfuscation and just plain flat-out stubborn refusal to do the common sense idea. Go and get the units and put them in, please. I mean, you just heard that Baltimore City... really, with all their challenges, went and bought 32 air-conditioned units and put them in 32 classrooms in 2 weeks.
And Anne Arundel County, you know, it's a school system of similar size, not exactly, but similar, pretty large county, solved the entire problem. They didn't wait 7 years. They got air-conditioning in all the classrooms.
And we talked to our colleagues that, in Anne Arundel. Yes.
Yeah, well, we want you to do exactly the same.
Haven't you met recently with Anne Arundel?
Yes, we talked to our colleagues in Anne Arundel. I know my chief operating officer has met with Alex. I talked to Superintendent Maxwell when he was there, of course, and then Dr. Alato as well.
Well, I'm going to wrap up. I have all sorts of other questions to ask you, but I'm going to just wrap it up because this is the issue that you need to take away. And please, go get the job done. Don't be like what went on out there in Flint, Michigan, where somebody drinks a glass, the mayor drinks a glass of water to show it's safe when he knows it isn't. Don't come down and tell us things that aren't true. Go back and put those units in. And, you know, go to the head of the parade. We'll praise you, and the parents will praise you, and the teachers will praise you, and the administrators will praise you, and everyone.
Yes, sir.
And do report where the money's coming from.
Say it one more time, Madam President.
Where the money's coming from.
Absolutely, in the plan that you want back.
I would like to know where this money is coming from.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Governor, would you like to take our lunch break now?
Yes.
If we got that done, we could suspend for half an hour and come back at 1:10 and start with Washington County at 1:10.
Sounds good. Everybody be back at 1:10, Washington County.
Listen, I hate to tell you this, but they respected the land in 2011, and they said it was good. It was a question in mind.
Well,
are you here, Washington? You are. All right.
Right there.
Governor Hogan, Ms. Kopp, Mr. Francho, Mr. Smith. And I don't know where Dr. Lieber went, Dr. Lieber, it's good to see you as well.
He's right there.
I actually saw him out in the hallway earlier. So, as the superintendent of Washington County, it's my privilege to be here today. I first want to say thank you, Governor, for your leadership, for your vision, and for your passion around these issues. Today, I think you'll find that we'll get you back on schedule with our requests. We are specifically requesting from the Public Works to fully fund three requests that we have. Two for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems at Hancock Middle Senior High School and at Bloomsboro Elementary School, and one roof replacement at Funkstown Elementary School. I'd also be remiss if I didn't thank the Board of Public Works for your support on Jonathan Hager Elementary School, which will open early April of this year. We're very excited. It came in within budget and is on schedule to be completed.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. We have really just the three systemic projects that I mentioned earlier. Hancock Middle Senior High School, the HVAC replacement. The appeal is for the remaining funding of $459,000 that will fully fund this project. Bloomsboro Elementary School's HVAC replacement project, we are appealing for $282,000. And finally, the Funkstown Elementary School, which is our pre-kindergarten center, we are appealing the final funding of $148,000. And with that, I'll make myself available to any questions that you might have.
Any questions?
Just quickly, Dr. Wilcox, your county does so well on this maintenance ratings, which is very rigorous, the 35 engineering criteria they use to rate the schools. Out of eight schools that were inspected in September 2012, three earned superior ratings. That's more than Montgomery County got. And so what exactly is it that you're doing, and why are the rural areas so much more impressive as far as the maintenance than some of the big suburban counties?
Well, first and foremost, I'm blessed with a great staff of lead custodians, head custodians, people who actually care every day about their facility. They attend to the small details so they don't become big details. But we also have a great project staff led by Dr. Michael, who's in the audience with me, and Rob Rollins, who's our facility manager. They are probably second to none in the state in terms of their care of our facilities and their constant intervention into smaller systems so they don't turn into larger problems for us. So I think it's that constant attention that we pay to our facilities on a daily basis.
Excellent.
Do you think it's size? I mean, if the larger jurisdictions were broken down in terms of maintenance, not into smaller sizes, is there any reason why they wouldn't become?
I think scale plays a part. I was a superintendent in Pinellas County, Florida. We were a school district of 115,000 kids with 200 facilities. I would not be able to stand in front of then-Governor Bush and say that we had that level of attention to detail. So I do think scale plays a part in it.
Even if you did break it down into
My district was in Pinellas County. We were broken down into five sub-districts with assistant superintendents, deputy superintendents for each area. It was still a difficult thing because all of a sudden, at some point, your funding all came together, and then the funding had to be reallocated to manage projects. And it involved a level of increase in the bureaucracy that really just didn't bode well for us. I also have spent time in Pinellas, in St. Johns County, Florida. I've spent time in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Scale does come into play on these things. It's not perhaps as easy to lead a large school district as some might think it is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you all.
All right, Al Gee.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Governor Hogan, Comptroller Francho, Treasurer Cobb.
Well, you guys brought the whole team.
We have a team here, and so we bring you greetings from beautiful Allegheny County. And so we're very happy to be here today, and I'm joined by Dr. Ed Root, who is president of our board, Mrs. Laurie Martini, who is our board vice president, Sarah Beth Bittinger, who is a board member, and Mr. Vince Montana, who is our director of facilities. And so earlier we were joined by the Allegheny delegation, Senator George Edwards, delegates Jason Buckle, and delegate Wendell Beitzel, and they had committee hearings, so they couldn't be here with us today. But we would like to express our appreciation to them for their constant support of our projects. And Commissioner President Jake Shade, was to be here with us today, but he was called away as well to a meeting in Pennsylvania. So we're very happy to be here. We thank you for the opportunity to be here to talk to you about the needs of Allegheny County. And so we do bring you greetings from the entire board and my staff. And we're also very appreciative of your past and continued support of all of our projects. and that I want you to know that you can always know that when you entrust us with the resources that you have so generously provided, that we're good stewards of that. We have consistently had very good maintenance ratings with our inspections. We have several Silver Hammer awards. Today we're asking for your approval of full funding for a couple of projects. The first one is the roof replacement project for Mount Savage School. That replaces a roof project that was locally funded back in 1993. And it's exceeded its useful life, and so we need to replace that. And the second project, and the one that I guess is our big project, is the Allegheny High School replacement project.
The senator just arrived, by the way.
Okay.
We're talking about George Edwards.
Okay. We're glad that he could be here with us. The project was first approved for planning in 2013, and the project was bid in September of 2015, and the bids at that time did exceed our available funding. And you may recall from previous discussions that the site is the former hospital in Western Maryland. So the hospital and the city partnered with us to acquire that site, to reclaim it and repurpose it for our high school. So the demolition is now complete. About 95% or exceeding 90% of the materials have been recycled, and we have a lot of crushed concrete that will serve as fill for the project. So it's a good recycling project as well. We have worked very hard to control the costs of this project through design, and now, again, in working continuously with the architects and engineers, have identified an additional $2 million worth of savings. And so we will hear back from the five original bidders at the end of February. But as we request the funding for this new Allegheny High School, want you to know that this is a high school that's been in continuous operation since 1925. We believe it's the oldest continuously operating high school in the state. So these projects have received favorable recommendations from our IEC staff and approved for funding by our county commissioners. And we just respectfully request today that you would approve our request today. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Vince Montana. He's going to bring you a few more specifics, and then Dr. Edwards has a couple.
If it's okay with you, we have Senator Edwards and Delegate Beitzel now joining us, and they got a busy legislative schedule.
Yes.
Can we let them jump
absolutely,
in case they can't
sir.
Stay?
Absolutely. thank you, Governor.
Afternoon.
Public Works. Pleased to be here. We're here just to say the delegation supports this project. It's a long, ongoing project. The school's in terrible shape. Went to a basketball game there the other week. Definitely needs replaced. I think it's the oldest school in the state.
How they doing the game?
My granddaughter played and they didn't win. So I'll leave it at that. Although she did pretty good. Delegate McKay and Delegate Buckle are in committee. I don't know if they'll get over here or not. But we just wanted to show up and tell you we do support this project. It's much needed. The new bids come in February. Be nice if we didn't need any extra, but we might be looking for a little at that time. We don't know yet. So thank you for your support.
Thank you, Senator.
We'll be back when Garrett County comes up, whatever time that is.
me too, and just fully support it, respectfully request your approval of this project.
Thank you very much, Delegate.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mr. Montana.
Well, as we've already discussed many times, speaking of basketball games, Governor, it was great to see you at the Ohio State game.
Senate President, I had a good time.
Courtside, I didn't rank that kind of thing. I will keep this. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm the king of brevity, so I will keep this short. Allegheny High School was built in 1925. We all know that. Now in its 91st year of continuous operation. I would be happy to answer any questions you may have. I won't waste your time with regurgitating what you've heard for the past 3 years.
Great. Anybody else on the team want to say anything?
Definitely.
Before we get to the questions?
I will be very brief. My name is Ed Root. I'm president of the Allegheny County Board right now, and we do want to let you know that we deeply appreciate the support consideration we've received in the past and urge you to support these two projects. The Allegheny High School is a very old building, kept together only by dint of a good custodial and maintenance staff, and it has reached the end of its useful life. We've done everything we can to save money, including having multiple contractors look at the specs, make recommendations, and we'd appreciate your support on this project.
Thank you. Ladies, you want to add anything?
Could I ask a question about Mount Savage? I think you're the gentleman.
Yes, ma'am.
You're going to replace it with another flat roof? Are you?
Yes, ma'am. Only the roofing material will be
there. Okay. Are there ways now to have flat roofs that don't incur all the problems that the older flat roofs had in terms of leakage? And we've got several instances with mold and
absolutely. The first and most important is installing tapered insulation so that there, although it appears from the ground to be a flat roof, there's a quarter inch per
so you make it not glass
slope to the drains. And we do that, I believe that's a state requirement. So it may appear flat from the ground, but it is sloped to the drains. So that prevents a lot of the problems. And then maintenance. We have a contractor inspect our roofs twice a year, a consultant, I should say. So every 6 months there's a consultant, and before and after every major snow or rainstorm, our custodians inspect the roofs. So we do our best to stay on top of that.
Well, good work. I wish everyone did that. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Just for Dr. Cox, there was on the maintenance reports, there were some things that raised my concern about fire safety. Apparently, Cache Valley Elementary School was noted as having a great deal of clutter in the teaching areas, and the fire exits were partially blocked with furniture. That was 2014. Washington Middle School and George Creek were cited in 2013 for excessive use of multiple electrical power strips and extension cords, which present, obviously, fire hazards. Are you paying everybody aware of the National Fire Prevention Standards and taking some action in response to those?
I can tell you that those problems are addressed immediately. It's very hard to control what a teacher moves into a classroom or a staff member moves into an office. But as soon as those problems are identified, discovered by our staff, they are taken care of. As far as any elementary school, you're going to have a lot of flammable instructional material hanging on the wall. And we go through this every year. The fire marshal says no more than 25% coverage on the walls. In an elementary school, the teachers can't possibly post all of their instructional material on the wall for the students and use less than 25% of the state. It's one of those conflicts between NFPA and modern instruction.
And I would just add additionally that specifically with Cache Valley, that is an open space school, and a lot of the equipment is for ambulatory purposes of students. And so I think I understand where the area is, but they do have a lot of equipment to use with special needs students. And so if you can imagine the configuration, they're not as clearly defined hallways and areas like that. So I think that's what the report is.
And just the construction bids that are coming in for Allegheny High School, what is the square foot bid, and what do you think the new bid will be per square foot?
The cost of the original bid, roughly 145,000 square feet. And we were looking at well over $320 a square foot, actually higher than that. We are hopeful that we're going to get down to that number again, so in the $300 to $320 range this time. We involved, I know that someone was up here earlier today and said we need to involve a contractor throughout design. We did that.
That's nothing new for us. We did that. There was a contractor on our committee, an experienced contractor, someone with experience in building schools and commercial buildings. When we first saw the cost estimate at the construction drawing stage, we met with our team and immediately began a value engineering process before we went out to bid. After we received bids, we did more value engineering. So we have been cost conscious on this project from its very inception. We don't have a lot of money to spend, and we're good stewards of the county and state money.
There was a huge difference between the estimated cost and where you ended up. I mean, can you explain what was the reason that the cost went up so dramatically, given that all your hard work to bring in the contractors and looked at value engineering?
Not just our school. I mean, it was a victim of the times. The cost of construction, not only school construction, went up significantly in the last 3 years. Dr. Lieber's been on the cutting edge and has been consulting with the districts, the LEAs, about that. And we know there are a lot of things that added costs to all school design. I brought with me today...
We have seen a lot of schools built for about half the cost per square foot.
But if we want to talk about the Monarch School, give me a call. It's going to take a good... I read Dr. Lieber's very well-done report. I toured that school, the Monarch School. It's apples and oranges, so you have to decide what you want. We have one elementary school that was built in 1911, still in use. Another one, 1923, still in use. If you put up a prefab steel building 20 years from now, that facility is not going to be a school, I will guarantee you. You're putting metal siding on the outside instead of brick. That's fine. It looks good, bright and shiny when it goes up. You're not going to see that 20 years from now. So it's what do you want to pay for?
Yeah, if I could interrupt, that is just the type of mindset which is so troubling. I mean, why not take a different mindset and say, look, instead of building it for 100 years, why don't we build it for 40 years? And why don't we do something to try to bridge this gap and not fall into the same old no-can-do, we don't like it, it's not our idea. I mean, just look at this with an open mind. I toured Monarch.
Absolutely.
You mentioned apples and oranges. If the apple is half the price of the orange, and it's fairly fulfilling, I might take the apple. But let's not kill things before they...
And I'm not doing that, Mr. Controller. Honestly, I entered that with an open mind. And there are some features of that school that can carry over to state school construction. I firmly believe there are things there that we could learn from.
But, what are they?
A 40-year investment versus we have buildings over 100 years old now. So and then the program is different. Look at the program that we have, that we teach. Occupational therapy, OTPT. There are a lot of differences, as I said, well detailed in Dr. Lieber's report.
I read Dr. Lieber's report, but we're never going to change anything with that kind of approach. So why don't we go back and maybe think about some best practices. I don't know what you're saving all this money for with the new high school, but I assume that's not going to impact the education at all. Am I right?
No, absolutely not.
Of course. So there we're saving money and we're not impacting the education. Can't we?
Sure. And I mentioned the metal siding. If you go to 2007, we opened Mountain Ridge. That was the first new high school built in Allegheny County since 1957. So we had 50 years. But we made some changes throughout design on that building. There is steel siding on that building, on the penthouses, on the roof. But there is brick there that will last 50 years. So I'm not totally discounting that approach. I think that there is lessons to be learned there. I just wanted to tell you, Mr. Controller, I have here a copy of the annual report of the State Board of Education of Maryland, 1905.
Wow.
And there's a whole section in this book about prototype design for schools. They're talking about one-room, two-room, four-room schoolhouses. There are a lot of changes. It's not a new idea, and it does work.
Did they have a Board of Public Works back then?
They had to ask someone for money. Thank you very much. I'm
Thank
sorry
you.
I took up so much of your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We can have Cheryl get up now. Madam Treasurer, talking about those flat roofs, I thought you were channeling Mr. Louis Goldstein, and when he was talking about the state specification that makes you have that quarter-inch slope, that was because the Board of Public Works required that after Mr. Goldstein, year after year, talked about those flat roofs in schools.
And the Board of Public Works.
Right, and then, so that, what he's talking about, is something that you all did many years ago. Carol Campbell.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Guthrie. I'm the superintendent of schools for Carroll County. Thank you for allowing me to appear before you again. Governor Hogan, good to see you. Comptroller Francho, good to see you again. And Treasurer Kopp. I'm really here to thank you for the almost $3 million you gave us in support of our three roofing projects. We only have $447,000 missing from Piney Ridge, which is a single-ply roof. We'd like to get the rest of the money to replace that roof. Our total request is about $3.4 million, and that's all I'm really here to do, although I would like to take the time to thank you personally, Governor Hogan, for the attempt to try to give us more state money through your budget. We really do appreciate that. We've lost, our state revenue has been down $11.5 million since 2009 because of the state funding formula, with wealth remaining relatively stable and our constantly decreasing student population. In fact, the student population has been decreasing since 2005. We have capacity for about 31,000 students. We're down to a little over 25,000 students, and the next enrollment projections for the next 10 years show that same trend. So we believe we'll be bottoming out at about 22,000. So we're going through really difficult conversations.
My understanding is that the Carroll County school system decided that they wanted to turn down our decision to give $4 million to keep the schools open, and went in a different direction.
No,
so my question is, why should you, Carroll County, keep the money that we put in to keep schools open if you're going to close the schools anyway, and you're already getting a $2 million increase for K-12 education? I mean, these additional funds we put in were to allow you more time for consideration for other options and a better long-term solution. It was rejected. So my concern is, why wouldn't we give that $4 million to Kent or Garrett or Baltimore City, who are all facing declining enrollments, or why not give it to Montgomery County, which is struggling to meet rapidly increasing numbers of students in enrollment demand?
Well,
what is the money being used for? Well, it's not being used for what we sent it there for, agreed to give it to you for.
That's when you sent Mr. Mitchell to our joint meeting, that's not the message he brought to us. He said that the money was not contingent on keeping schools open.
I don't know how they delivered that message. I was pretty clear about it.
But the other result is that because it has to go through the legislative process, we have to make certain decisions before state deadlines, which contrast. The board did not make the decision not to accept the money. But what I will say that in my statement about closing schools, that if we can get the revenue we need to offset inflationary increases, and at this point the state has us down a little over $1.5 million with their preliminary estimates, which don't include the governor's money, at the end of the legislative session with the governor's funds, if that gets through the legislative service and our local government gives us the money, I said publicly at the time that I would reconsider the decision to close schools. So I'm not sure what you're hearing, but that's not what I said at the public meeting to close schools. I said with the combination of increased money from the state and increased money from the county, if we don't need to close schools, I wouldn't need to do it. I would reconsider my decision, Governor.
Can I ask a question? Because I've been inundated with messages from families up in Carroll County, and obviously it's a very emotional situation, and it's not their fault. They didn't make the decision. Somebody made the decision in Carroll County to overbuild capacity. How did that happen?
Well, that's not a difficult question to answer. It's a very easy question to answer. At the time, one of our schools was over capacity. I personally presented enrollment projections to the community, the public officials at the time, to show them that the school wasn't needed. There was a great political outcry from the local citizens to our county government. Some current public officials led that discussion. It's all on tape. We have it online. And a political decision was made to build a school that was unnecessary. But also, you'll have to remember, from 1985 to 2005, we were gaining about 500 students a year. In 2005, it didn't level off. It just changed, and we started losing around, on the average of about 400 students a year. And it continued to drop until this day. And again, based on the state funding formula, if you take out the Thornton funds and looking at real money coming in 2009, that's contingent on funding formulas, we lost $11.5 million from state revenue. So, Mr. Comptroller, I agree with you. It was a political decision. It was a wrong decision at the time, and now I have two high schools 4 miles away from each other, all each approaching 50% of capacity.
Okay, I can see that dilemma for you, but what I don't get is walking away from $4 million when the only ask is, can we keep the schools open and reconsider and think about this?
$4 million
is a lot of money.
I haven't walked away from it. I have to wait till the end of the legislative session to make sure it remains in the governor's budget or remains, you know, we've heard lots of opinions on the $4 million, whether it will make it through the legislative session or not. There's a lot of consternation.
Well, I think that was primarily after the county basically said, we're not going to change our position. The money's not going to change our decision. So if I were the legislator, why would you want to give you the money?
And I was straight
you probably won't make it through the legislative session.
I will state as strongly as I can, Governor, that is not the statement that I made.
The way it's been portrayed in the media.
The media was wrong. We have my statement online. I can send you the link to it. I made a very strong statement in saying, should we receive the revenue that can pay for the inflationary increases and to give our employees an adequate competitive raise, I will reconsider any need to close schools. That's what I said in public, and that's what I mean saying here today.
I'm not saying right now. I will keep these schools open temporarily. Can't guarantee that they're going to be open for years and years to come, but yeah, thank you for the $4 million. We're going to use it for, can they use it for teacher raises or something? Keep the schools open, move forward.
I will say what I said then. If I get the revenue from the state and the local commissioners to support my need to pay the bills, certainly that can be the decision. But unfortunately, I don't have the timing of the announcement of closing schools and the receipt of any money from the legislative process don't jive together.
Yeah. At this point, I wouldn't count the money if I were you. Any other questions? Thank you.
Could I just ask one question? I don't know if you were here with the prior you were. Mm-hmm. Roof. Now, Carroll County seems to have consistent problems year after year with the roofs.
Yes, during the rapid growth that we experienced in those 20 years, we built 14 schools in that 20-year period just to accommodate the overwhelming growth that we've gotten. The standard of that time was single-ply roofs. We found that they were not, you know, that was the standard that the state designers, and we adhered to that standard. So we have all these single-ply roofs that were built at the same time, and they're all 20-year roofs. And even though we're extending beyond that 20-year period, for instance, the Piney Ridge roof was built in 91, they're all failing at about the same time. And so that's why we have this perennial roof problem.
But the maintenance inspection did draw your attention to those particular problems.
Yeah, we didn't need the maintenance inspection to do that. We have roofers up there. We're patching leaks. So they just need new roofing systems. We need built-up roof, and we need multiple-ply roofs. But we have a backlog of roofs, and the other piece is we can only bring to you what our county government has considered concurrent funding.
So the roofs will continue to leak, and do you have a mold problem because of them?
No.
I can't imagine.
Not at this point.
How do you know if they haven't been inspected?
We do inspections on our roofs, and we do inspections. We are not aware of any mold problems as a result of water infiltrations.
Okay.
Any other questions, Howard County? Carroll County? I'm jumping ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good
afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the time this afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Franchot, Treasurer Kopp. I'm Scott Smith, Superintendent for St. Mary's County Public Schools. Joining me today are Delegate Deb Ray, Dr. Jeff Walker, Assistant Superintendent of Supporting Services, Ms. Kimberly Howe, Director of Capital Planning, and Ms. Mary Hayden, Capital Planning Programmer Analyst.
Thank you all for coming.
I want to begin by thanking the Board of Public Works, the Interagency Committee on School Construction, and the Public School Construction Program for your continued support of our facilities and the opportunity to provide testimony in support of our capital improvement program. We believe strongly that safe, orderly, and inviting, well-maintained school facilities are a cornerstone to learning. Through your prior efforts, we've been able to completely modernize all of our high schools. We're completing the modernization of our last middle school and almost half of our elementary schools. During that same time, we replaced two elementary schools and have built two new elementary schools, the most recent being Captain Walter Francis Duke, which opened this year. As a result of these projects and an aggressive systemic renovation program, all of our schools are air-conditioned, and we will have removed all pod classrooms by the end of this year. We've used aging school, qualified zone academy bonds, security initiative, and energy conservation fundings to improve safety of our exterior grounds, improving our aging infrastructure, reduce our consumption, and address safe schools through interior door lock retrofits and technology upgrades. To summarize, St. Mary's County Public Schools has utilized the capital funds provided to ensure that we are meeting our capacity needs while protecting our infrastructure investments. As we look to the future, we will need additional capacity, and we're very grateful for the planning approval recommendation for our next elementary school. In addition, we will need to invest resources in systemic renovation of roof and HVAC systems on facilities that were modernized in the 1990s and are now beginning to reach the end of their useful life expectancy. Our Department of Capital Planning and Maintenance work collaboratively to ensure that all of our facilities are maintained, monitored, tracked, and incorporated into comprehensive replacement plans outlined in our Comprehensive Maintenance Plan for Educational Facilities and our Educational Facilities Master Plan. As a result of this coordination and planning, our request this year was for four projects. Based on the IAC recommendation to fully endorse three of these projects, we will be appealing the remaining funding on the fourth request. We greatly appreciate the recommendation to fund the remaining $88,200 state construction allocation to Spring Ridge Middle School for that limited renovation project, and that gets rid of our last pod classrooms, so long in the 70s. $283,000 to relocate two four-room classroom relocatables from that construction site to Fairleigh Academy 2. Planning approval for our third elementary school, and 75% funding for the partial roof replacement at Piney Point Elementary School. We thank the IAC and PSCP for the $1,037,000 in funding that's been recommended this time. We are appealing the last $236,200 in construction funding to complete the balance of state funding for the Piney Point partial roof replacement. The balance of that project funding is required this fiscal year in order to meet cash flow requirements to complete the project by November 2016. Based on the current recommendation, design will begin immediately so the project can be bid this spring and completed this summer. The project includes replacement of 55,000 square feet of existing roof. During the 1997 addition renovation project, the entire roof was not replaced because about half of it still had a 10-year life left on its section. Today, the roof is beginning to fail. Based on brittle roof material, it's reached its end-of-life expectancy, and we are experiencing leaks. Maintenance staff monitors the roof, provides repairs as needed pending the roof replacement. The roof is inspected semi-annually by the maintenance department, and the last three inspections indicated progression and deterioration of the roof, and so it's ready to be fully repaired. Full funding of this project at an early stage in the funding process will assist us with planned construction in the summer to minimize the impact on instructional areas when school opens in August of 2016. On behalf of students, staff, and community of St. Mary's County, we appreciate the continued support of the IAC and PSCP in meeting our facilities needs, and we'll be happy to address any questions you may have regarding our request for the addition of $236,000.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate all the success the mother county has had so far.
Absolutely.
It's a good report.
I think the St. Mary's schools do us proud and have for some time, and I appreciate it. I was just looking at the maintenance reports, however, and this recurrent roof problem seems to extend to St. Mary's County also, including problems with relatively new roofs. First question, do the counties, Dr. Lieber, respond specifically to, Dr. Lieber, Do the LEAs respond specifically to these findings?
Yes, they do.
School by school?
On the school-based report, which is very detailed,
yes.
Each of the 35 items
the
will have a comment, and many of them will have an X that shows they need to respond to that comment. And our staff reviews the comments, and then we have discussion if the response is not satisfactory.
Great. Okay, so the answer, I think, is yes. So you know which of these specific ones I'm referring to, where immediate, and they're not the ones you mentioned, which is why I wonder what's going on, first of all, in terms of holding the contractors and builders accountable when possible.
Right.
And secondly, making sure that maintenance, now here are some where they say, in fact, contrary to Allegheny, that it has impacted the walls, the ceilings. You might not have mold in St. Mary's County, but I find that difficult to believe here on the same latitude as Montgomery, when we have these problems. Well, what are you doing about it?
Well, I mean, I can certainly call up Dr. Jeff Walker.
Well, I don't want to...
Right.
Very briefly. And then, if you want afterwards in greater detail, I'd appreciate it.
Yes. I think, thank you for the question. We are concerned about roof leaks and damage. We do our semi-annual inspections, and we respond to issues that we find. We do also respond to the issues that are identified in the state maintenance inspections. And as we've seen a pattern of things, we're looking at our procedures and processes, possibly calling in some support from contractors to identify where the issues are. But you've heard from other jurisdictions today, too, about certain types of roofs having more trouble over time, and we're seeing the same pattern.
So you've solved the problem at Hollywood Elementary?
We haven't solved the problem, but we've minimized the issues that were identified in that report.
The electrical, the impact on the electrical system?
We have addressed all the issues in there. I just went over that report with our director of maintenance a couple weeks ago. But Hollywood Elementary is also in our CIP for a future improvement.
Well, that's
in the
great,
near future.
But we don't want the boiler and the electric system to go.
No,
ma'am.
Right. No, we don't. Right. Delegate, Ray's here. Do you have anything you want to add, Delegate?
I would really appreciate your support on this. Thank you for the support you've given us so far, and a little bit more support would be great to help solve this problem. I think our new superintendent and his staff do a wonderful job keeping our schools up, and they work really hard, and if we could get this problem solved, that's just one more thing behind us, and we can go on to other things.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Any questions?
I don't have any questions for St. Mary's. I know that will surprise everybody, but I wanted to compliment Delegate Deb Ray. Thank you for the work and leadership you provide St. Mary's and, frankly, all of Southern Maryland. And thank you for helping me out from time to time when I needed, tax issues communicated to people. And I appreciate the good leadership that you show.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask one more question, Dr. Weaver? I assume, did the legislators get copies of these reports?
Not of the detailed reports, but the copies that you have are available to the legislators. We send out to the legislators. We send to the Joint Chairman's Committee, and we send copies to the presiding officers as well.
Absolutely.
So the answer is, I don't know if you've seen all of this information. I think he's going to. Okay, we'll get it.
We do announce that they're available on the website.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Because the public school construction, it comes right up on the top of their website, all the maintenance reports by year are right there.
Right.
Just to make it clear, you do a great educational job. No issues. Thank you.
Great. Thank you all very much. Before we get to the next Monday, Comptroller wants to take 30 seconds for a point of personal privilege.
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Governor. And as you know, the tax season has started, and my office is announcing today that four tax providers in the Baltimore region, Liberty Tax Offices, we are temporarily stopping all processing of electronic returns because we're seeing a deluge of fraudulent tax returns where people are claiming business exemptions when they don't own any businesses and when they've got wildly inflated expenses. And we have seen enough of them coming out of these four different tax
offices that were decided to basically stop processing any of their returns until we understand what's going on. Last year, we had over 20,000 fraudulent tax returns that we intercepted and stopped payment of. My first year in office, we had 300. So this is an ongoing situation, and unfortunately, it's getting bigger, but we're not going to obviously just sit silent, because the state, unfortunately, has to pay. When we pay out a fraudulent tax return, and the real person, for example, hasn't filed it, we have to go and pay double there. We pay the refund and then we pay the victim. This is a case where we're really taking a look at the preparers, because it really looks completely out of line. So I just wanted to interrupt for a moment, Governor. I appreciate it. I know it's off script, but we wanted to make sure folks that are listening to this at home take the necessary protections and make sure that if they are relying on a preparer, that they look at that before it goes in, because, well, this action we don't take lightly. And so thank you for letting me mention that, and we'll be putting out more information on that to make sure people are protected. But if you wonder why all these hacks that you read about where data is stolen from corporations and public agencies, a lot of it ends up in these fraudulent tax returns. That's why it's a big deal. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we have found our full.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Mr. Franchel, Ms. Cobb. I am Pamela Cousins, president of Calvert County Public Schools. Today, I bring you greetings from Calvert County Board of Education, our superintendent, our faculty, our student population that we serve. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you to discuss Calvert County's CIP for fiscal year 2015-17. The level of support you have given Calvert County in the past is to be commended. We are before you today to request your continued support for Northern High School's replacement project, and to assure you that Calvert County is in position to support our share of the endeavor. Superintendent Daniel Curry will speak with you shortly about our CIP request for 2017 in a moment. But let me thank you in advance for your continued support of our school construction project, Calvert County Schools' success in the area of student achievement is in part due to the IAC's consistent and responsive funding of school facilities, improvements that meet the needs of our in today's instructional programs. So I'll turn it over to Superintendent Curry.
Thank you, Madam President.
Madam President, before you, could I just say, I don't know if you've heard us talking about maintenance and repair of all of the different jurisdictions. Calvert County stands out for its superiority.
Thank you, ma'am.
I commend you. I've been reading the remarks. Let me just, Governor, just from this last year, the pride that communities and school officials have in their schools shows the superior cleanliness and appeal of the interior. Schools show consistently good and responsible maintenance, and it goes on like that, and I congratulate and thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Governor, Comptroller, Treasurer Cobb, we want to thank you for the support you've given us in the past in regard to our CIP. I want to acknowledge George Leah, who is behind me, who is our Director of Construction, and Sachita Warner, who is back there, who is a supervisor. They both have a lot to do with our successes. Our appeal today concerns the first year of funding for the replacement for Northern High School. It's been requested in the 2017 cycle. Now, as you may recall, we weren't able to build last year because of the bids. And we weren't able to commence on schedule as we had hoped. The bids we received last February had to be rejected. Construction costs beyond our budget, and since the bid opening, we have reevaluated the project scope and the building systems to align better with the available dollars that we have, both state and local. We plan to bid the project to general contractors in May or June and commence construction in August. Construction will occur in three phases over a 40-month period. First phase will be the construction and the subsequent occupancy of the new high school by 2018. The second phase will consist of the demolition of the old high school, the construction of the administrative wing to be completed in 2019. The third and final phase would be the construction of additional instructional spaces at the existing high school auditorium and the site improvements, all to be completed by 2020. Our appeal for Northern High School replacement project is for $4 million, the balance of the requested $9.9 million in state funds. To date, the recommendations total $5.9 million. Total project, $82 million. Combined state state money of $39 million and local of $42.5 million. Of the total project, $74 million is for construction. The funding requests are being spread over a four-year cycle, and we think that helps add to our efficiency. We're asking for our $4.038 million to commence with construction this summer. Any questions?
Any questions? I just want to, I thought the treasurer hit the nail on the head. Calvert County, we need to get you folks in touch with every other system. And it may be true that small systems have a smaller scale, but you have a 95% score on taking care of your schools. And the one I'm referring to was built, I think, in 1958. It had a minor renovation 25 years later. I can't remember the name of it. I think it's the... And for the last 30 years, is operating, and it got, get this, it got the top rating under maintenance. I think the treasurer read some of the result of that. How do you guys, I know scale matters, but don't you, you must have some special... potion down there in the water or something. I don't know. What is it that
we
they see?
We have to give credit to our employees. They see our school. Our school facilities like in any community, but maybe in a rural community, are a matter of pride for the community. They're business center. Everyone loves coming to their schools. There are a lot of school activities and non-school activities around those schools. And our maintenance building service workers own those buildings. That's their house. They take good care of their house.
Yeah, well, that's excellent. And I've got a school exactly identical to this in another jurisdiction that's coming up the stairs after you, where you wouldn't step foot in that school without being afraid that something's going to fall on you. Same age, same renovation history. I think you're right, it's bigger. Treasure's right there, but there's a mindset issue, too. Thank you for doing what Calvert does. That is just fantastic.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Appreciate your support.
Thank you.
And Governor, good to see you back to health.
Thank you.
All right, Charles County.
Charles County. We got all of Southern Maryland getting knocked out here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Governor. Good afternoon, Comptroller Franchel, and good afternoon, Treasurer Cobb. I'm Virginia McGraw, and I am the chairman of the Board of Charles County Board of Education. And before I begin, I would like to introduce our Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Kimberly Hill, and also with us today are staff members from our Office of Supporting Services, Mr. Steve Andrix and Mr. Dave Clements as well.
Welcome.
Charles County Public Schools, with the support of our county commissioners, contracted a comprehensive study 2 years ago. The survey allowed our Board of Education to develop some long-range plans for renovations while also programming for new capacity. The report confirmed what we already knew. After so many years of building new schools for growth, our older buildings need upgrades of all types, mechanical, electrical, and most importantly, for redesigned space to accommodate 21st century educational advances. The IAC and the Board of Public Works have been very supportive of our office and of our efforts in Charles County, and we appreciate all that you do to help us maintain our quality facilities. Already, the IAC has recommended $2.2 million for Childs County Public School projects, including rooftop units at Benjamin Stoddard Middle School, kindergarten additions and reservations at Mary H. Matula Elementary School, and Daniel of St. Thomas Jennifer Elementary School, and final funding for our St. Charles High School. Our capital improvement plans blend new construction needs with renovations, which often include adding capacity for students. For example, the Dr. Mudd Elementary School renovation, which the IAC approved last year for local planning, includes the opportunity to provide additional seats for students. We are also being very judicious in our planning of renovations, preserving much of the original structures as possible during our renovation and value engineering prior to submitting plans without compromising quality. We use our buildings a long time. Some of our buildings have been serving as schools for more than half a century, so we know we have to build and renovate structures that will last. On behalf of the Board of Education, we thank you for consideration of our appeal and our pledge to commitment to working with you and our local and state officials. Further, we applaud your support and of education and recognition for the quality public school system, which is the key to both our civic and economic vitality, not just in Charles County, but also in our state. Now, our Superintendent, Dr. Hill, will outline our specific appeal.
Thank you. And, Madam Chairman, let me congratulate you, too, on the maintenance reports and the quality of the
Thank
school.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Very well.
Thank you, Ms. McGraw. Good afternoon. Charles County Public Schools' request today combines an appeal for two major projects: funding for a systemic renovation of an aging school and construction of a new elementary school. We've requested nearly $13.4 million for these two projects. First, we're asking for $6.4 million in state construction funding for a renovation and addition at Dr. Mudd Elementary School. Treasurer Cope, you probably will see that mentioned in our maintenance report, the poor facility that is at Dr. Mudd. Built in 1967, the school's major mechanical systems, heating, cooling, electrical, and plumbing, are failing. They've reached the end of their useful life. Dr. Mudd provides little natural daylight and has building problems, including leaks. The renovation will upgrade and modernize the existing spaces to meet educational program needs and bring this 49-year-old building into the 21st century. Expansion and renovation at Dr. Mudd will include a modern media center, a gymnasium, an all-day additional kindergarten classroom space, and it will bring the same level of educational opportunity to Dr. Mudd as is found in our newest schools. We believe there are many benefits for renovating and reusing our older neighborhood schools. We're preserving as much of the building's original structure and character as possible while transforming it into a modern, state-of-the-art facility in a fiscally responsible way. For many years, Charles County was one of the fastest-growing systems in the state, causing us to focus solely on new construction. And we're paying the price for that now, honestly. Since 2005, we've built five new schools. The last complete renovation of any of our schools was more than a decade ago in 2001, as we finished renovations at Henry E. Lackey High School and J.P. Ryan Elementary School. While we saw slight declines in student population during the recession, we experienced an increase in students this year. Most of our growth occurs in the Waldorf area, which is the population center for Charles County. While our future plans focus heavily on renovation, enrollment projections predict continued growth and the need for an additional elementary school to supplement the space created through our renovations. So that brings us to our second request, which is a total of $7 million in initial construction funding for a new elementary school to reduce crowding in six neighborhood schools in the Waldorf area. The new school is designed for 766 students and is expected to be near capacity when it opens. Our goal is to build a new school and renovate Dr. Mudd concurrently so that we can conduct a comprehensive elementary school rezoning in the Waldorf area. Redistricting, as you can imagine, is a difficult and disruptive process for children, parents, the school system, and our communities. So a comprehensive redistricting that creates an attendance zone for a new school as well as redistributing student population at neighborhood schools, causes less disruption than a piecemeal type of process would. So on behalf of the children of Charles County, we ask that you grant our appeal and help us build a new elementary school and renovate Dr. Mudd Elementary concurrently. Doing so will enable us to relieve elementary school overcrowding and deliver two 21st century educational facilities to our community. Thank you again for all the support you have provided to Charles County Public Schools. And Comptroller, it is always nice to see you. You visit us quite often, and we're looking forward to seeing you, I think, on Monday at Metula Elementary.
Thank you, Dr. Hill, for your leadership, and Board Chair McGraw, both of you helped me out on my Business Advisory Council. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate the participation and what you're doing in Charles County.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.
Could I ask one specific question?
Sure.
That came up about the emergency preparedness program, which sounds more administrative, really, than maintenance. You've read the reports, I
yes.
assume. And has that been addressed?
Yes, we are addressing that as we speak.
And the question of the warranty on roofs, do you go after the warranty?
Absolutely we do, and that's why we are looking as a system at bringing in solar. And we're doing that now solely as solar fields rather than solar panels on roofs because we don't want to compromise that warranty.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. I was remiss to say before Charles that Cecil was scheduled, and they wrote this morning and said they would not be able to be here because of the circumstances and getting their schools cleared out. But your assistants each have their written appeal in their email box. So now we have... Garrett.
Back to Western Maryland. Can we have a senator and delegate joining us? Well,
Honorable
Commissioner.
Governor. Excuse me.
That's folks. Got the whole team.
Honorable Governor Hogan, Mr. Fritto, Ms. Koff, Jack Smith, and the Interagency Commission. Thank you for this opportunity to really appeal for full funding for a project that has been in the works for several years, which is the renovation of Southern Middle School. We're requesting the full funding of $4,414,000. On behalf of the elected school board in Garrett County, the members of whom could not be here today, I extend sincere greetings and appreciation for the many construction projects that you've approved and funded on our behalf. And in each and every case, the support for the request has directly and or indirectly impacted the delivery of instruction. What I'd like to do is introduce our team. I have with me, of course, Senator Edwards and Delegate Weitzel. I have Mr. Bill Swift, who's our Director of Maintenance and Facilities. I also have Mr. Larry McKenzie, who is our Finance Director and also Honorable Chair of our Commissioners, Mr. Paul Edwards. I would like to at this time turn it over to Mr. Swift, who will give you a brief project description, and then I'd like to follow up with a connected piece of the story.
Great.
Thank you, Dr. Wills. Good afternoon. Just give you a brief description of the project for Southern Middle School renovation. Southern Middle School serves 544 students and 40 staff members in a 6-8 grade band configuration, and it was built in the southern part of Garrett County in 1977. The existing building systems have exceeded their life expectancy, and the building configuration does not lend itself to the current curriculum standards. The original layout of the school utilized an open space design, creating random, large classroom spaces throughout the facility. This design soon became outdated and non-functional, requiring the erection and reconfiguration of walls over the years to create self-contained classrooms. The building has been well-maintained over the years. We believe the ratings of good over the last 20 years in the Educational Facilities Master Plan demonstrates the excellent standards and care provided by our maintenance and custodial staffs. Currently, student movement throughout the school is disruptive with this open space design. There's an inefficient use of the HVAC systems and controls, classroom lighting is inadequate, and most importantly, emergency response plan is difficult to administer. The renovation of Southern Middle School facility is a basic renovation. The design does not include expensive fits and finishes. There are no three-story atriums. There are no terrazzo floors. The design will be billed as a complete gutting and renovation of the educational spaces. The heating and cooling systems at the school were upgraded in 2007 and 2011, respectively. And in 2012, the HVAC controls were upgraded using local funds. The existing plant will remain intact and operational throughout the renovation to support the needs of Broadford Elementary School, which is adjacent to Southern Middle School. The renovation will include 15 ad alternates, one of which is a Performing Arts Center addition. Currently, no school in Garrett County has a dedicated auditorium or Performing Arts Center. That's a brief description. Now I'll turn it back over to Dr. Wilson. Thank you.
Thank you.
This project is extremely important to us, and I'd like to connect it, if you don't mind, to the wealth formula. Garrett County Public Schools remains very enthusiastic about this renovation with the potential of a performing arts center. As Mr. Swift said, we do not have an auditorium, a dedicated auditorium of any kind in our school system. Unfortunately, we face the likelihood with the increased costs in the school construction, that this may lead to the inability to fund this project. If the construction and the renovation bid amounts reflect current estimates, the basic renovation of this middle school will be the most expensive project the Garrett County government has ever undertaken. The wealth formula, of course, creates a requirement that Garrett have a 50-50 cost share in the construction that in reality becomes a 74-26 cost share, with the state paying the 26%. We're already in mid-range with property tax, and we also know that many of our residents basically reside below the poverty line. So I'd like to offer up a couple of relevant facts. The Board of Education now maintains 12 schools, 2 high schools, 2 middle schools, and 8 elementary schools serving 3,856 students in the geographic area of 650 square miles. Some of our students ride the bus upward of an hour and a half one way to school, and I know this because I've taken the bus with them. And there are 63 buses that travel 6,000 miles a day, transporting our students to and from school. And, you know, to put that in perspective, that's traveling the circumference of the globe every 4.2 days. Our buses transport 6 students per square mile, as compared to more densely populated areas of, say, Montgomery, which has 300 students per square mile. As you know, as a result of declining enrollment and increased wealth, the school system has endured large percentages of loss of state funding for 5 of the last 6 years, and we've also lost a great deal of student enrollment. 3 of our schools had to close, which caused overcrowding in 2 of the remaining elementary schools on the southern end. Overcrowding was relieved in one of the schools by adding an eight classroom portable addition. Without changes to the current funding formula and with the projections of continued enrollment decline, additional school closures may be necessary and extremely difficult. So this southern middle school renovation and making closed classrooms is very critical to us moving forward because it provides options for us to realign grade bands. We are a school system that has schools that are 63 years or older, our high schools. In fact, Delegate Beitzel and Senator Edwards graduated from those high schools that are still in operation, and we're very proud of
our
maintenance.
Wow, those are really old schools. They turned out pretty good, though.
We're very proud of their continuous operation with the condition ratings that we do have in terms of our inspections, our state inspections. So we are just, in conclusion, this project is very important to our future, and we know that we have to go out to bid in order to be able to know whether or not our local government can secure the funding to make this possible.
Great. Any questions? I see Senator Edwards back there. And Delegate Beitzel. And
you guys want to weigh in?
You guys look terrific, but I'll tell you my hope for the future is standing off on the side there, Senator Edwards' son. Yeah, he's coming along. So, reinforcements.
Thank you so much, Governor Hogan, Controller Franchot, and
Treasurer Kopp, I certainly want to weigh in supporting this project. And we just want to mention real quick that Garrett County has received $0 for new school construction for more than 25 years. Garrett County is not slated to receive any dollars in the foreseeable future for new schools. We're closing down schools. That means we got to maintain our existing schools. And so if you look at the results that we're getting from our Board of Education and all of our students working in education in Garrett County, you can see the results. We're right up at the top of the list in achievement with our students. And the other thing is that I don't know how many people know it, but Garrett County fully funds all the tuition costs for every student that graduates from our two high schools at Garrett Community College. And has been for a number of years. So any kid that graduates from our two colleges in Garrett, our two high schools in Garrett County can go to Garrett Community College and have the tuition paid in full by the county without asking for state assistance. In addition to that, they can go to trade schools for the ones that don't want to go to college, and the county funds that. And what made that possible, Senator Edwards and I put a bill in to allow for one percent increase in the accommodation tax that's used for economic development purposes to educate our kids.
Thank you, Delegate. Senator?
Governor, Comptroller, Treasurer, thank you for the opportunity again to be here. I'm getting a lot of exercise today running back and forth. It was a good workout day, and I'm here because my son texted me and said I better get over here. So I listen to him, and thank you, Comptroller, for your kind comments there. Again, this is a much-needed project, as is everyone that comes before you. We don't usually ask for a whole lot. We do have, I think it's stabilized now, our student population anyway. We're looking forward to the new wealth calculation formula, which we've proven in the past. It really puts the screws to us in Garrett County.
It's the screws.
And I think we've convinced the hierarchy that that is the case, the way it's computed. So hopefully when that comes in, it'll benefit us a little bit more and how we receive money from the state. So just ask your support of this project and look forward to working with you on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Governor, can I just thank you all. This is very dramatic, what you've given us, and really helpful, I think.
Thank you. I have to give my credit to Mr. Larry McKenzie. That's the picture story of what Garrett County has endured over the last several years.
It really brings it home. And the question of the impact of Deep Creek and the folks there.
And I want to say that the last project that we came here for was 10 years ago. So with the renovation of Northern Middle School on our northern end. So I do appreciate your time and your attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Okay, we have Harford County. Everybody's doing a good job keeping up with kids. So we remind them.
How many more do we have? How many are left?
This is 11, so we're halfway through.
Harford County, I see my good friend, the county executive, Barry Glassman, has joined us along with a big team. Thank you all for being here. Yeah.
Would you like me to begin?
Sure.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Franco, and Treasurer Kopp. I'd also like to acknowledge Dr. Jack Smith and Dr. Lever, and thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you today. I am Barbara Canavan, Superintendent of Schools for Harford County, and I am here before you today to appeal the IAC recommendations to the Board of Public Works for the Harford County Public Schools FY 2017 Capital Improvement Program. Before I deliver my comments, I would like to acknowledge and thank the various leaders within the Harford County government for all they have done in support of our school system. Today we have with us County Exec Barry Glassman, Delegate Andrew Cassidy, and I anticipate that Delegate Rick Impoleria, Chair of the Harford County Delegation, Delegate Marianne Lasanti, and Delegate Terry Riley will be joining us shortly. Without the support of our Board of Education, our County Exec, Mr. Barry Glassman, our County Council, and our delegation, Harford County Public Schools would not be able to deliver the quality of educational programs or maintain the school facilities for the students and staff of Harford County. Joining me today are members of the Harford County School Board and my leadership team. I'd like to acknowledge Ms. Nancy Reynolds, the President of the Board of Education, and ask those people to stand, please. I'd also like to acknowledge Mr. Joseph Okada, the Chief of Administration, Mr. Cornell Brown, the Assistant Superintendent of Facilities and Operations, Ms. Deborah Judd, the Assistant Superintendent for Business Services, and also Mr. Chris Morton, who is the Supervisor of Facilities. It's been a productive year in Harford County since last year's appeal hearing. We are in the second year of construction of a new youth benefit elementary school. The new two-story portion of the facility will be ready for students at the beginning of the 2016-2017 school year. When completed, the Falston community will have a new single-building elementary school facility in lieu of the three buildings and seven relocatable classrooms that currently house the youth benefit students. We are in the process of completing design efforts to bid and award a roof replacement project at Churchill Elementary, an air conditioning upgrade at our alternative education program, and an HVAC open space conversion at Prospect Mill Elementary. Once the air conditioning project is completed at the Alternative Education Center, all of our schools will be fully air conditioned. Once Youth Benefit Elementary and Prospect Mill Elementary School projects have been completed, there will only be three open space schools that will need to be addressed, two of which are currently included in the FY17 capital budget request. Additional accomplishments include the completion of Harford County's countywide facilities master plan. This effort, as we approach this effort, we continue to work collaboratively with our county government as we evaluate the comprehensive needs of our school system. We believe that with your financial assistance and our focus on long-term master planning, Harford County will continue to successfully identify and address long-term deferred maintenance and the needs of an aging infrastructure. Please know that your assistance over the years has had everything to do with that. With this in mind, we are here today to seek your continued financial support of our efforts. During this year's capital budget process, the ISC has graciously recommended the approval of our request for state funding for the following: complete funding for the Darlington ES HVAC systemic project, $1.5 million. Complete funding for the roof replacement at Joppatown, $1.2 million. Complete funding in the amount of $709,000 and $1.1 million for the open space conversion projects at William S. James and Old Post Elementary Schools, respectively. And finally, the partial funding of $2.8 million for the HVAC systemic project at Riverside Elementary. We appreciate the IAC recommendation of $7.4 million for these much-needed projects, and we thank you for your support. Governor Hogan, Harford County Public Schools is appealing the IAC recommendation to partially fund the HVAC systemic project at Riverside Elementary School. $1,260,000 represents the balance of the funding required to address HVAC, window, and door improvements that are sorely needed at Riverside Elementary School. In closing, I would like to thank you and express our sincere appreciation for your continued support. It is our hope that you will be able to endorse our efforts by upholding our appeal to fully fund the Riverside project. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would County Executive Glassman or any of the legislators want to come up and talk? Anybody else?
Just real quick, it's been a long 4 days, so bear with me if I don't string my sentences along too well.
But
I did want to get down here from Harford County today. We've gotten all our roads at least one pass, so we're getting there. We've got a few more days to dig out. Governor, it's good to see my old House colleagues. I shouldn't say old, but the Comptroller and Delegate Cobb, the Treasurer. It's good to see you both. Real quick, we, the local Harford County government, we do stand ready to provide our local funds to support the Board of Education. Just a couple of areas that I want to bring up real quickly. We do long-term, Harford County is one of five counties to be granted the AAA bond rating from our bond rating agencies. They support our borrowing plan going forward. Part of that is a community school, Haverty Grace High School, Middle School, that's been in the works that we did have to defer to get our capital borrowing in line. We've been working with the comptroller, and I think we're going to take a dual avenue and look. We're encouraged about the possibilities for commercial building standards and alternate financing for a large project. We would ask the board to look at the rule that when a community school that is combined high middle school, that in fact on a $100 million project, the reimbursement of $20 million does not take into account that we're combining two schools. And we would ask in your deliberations if that percentage could be looked at if we decide to go the traditional route to finance that school. And finally, we look forward to the wealth formula changes. Harper County, for its successes, remain because of the stagnant enrollment and our lack of wealth loss. We still fall in the bottom quartile of state support for our activities. So we look forward to both of those changes. But thank you all for everything you do for Harper County.
Thank you, Mr. County Executive. Kelly?
Governor, Comptroller, committee members, I stand before you as a representative to our delegation in support of these projects. They're ones that we've looked long and hard at. We've really tried to crunch to any extreme needs, and it's only because of our efforts to look for alternative financing methods and things of the nature that we've been able to keep our system up and running to the level that it's running, and these projects are of critical need to us. So we sincerely hope you will give great consideration to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions?
I just want to applaud the county executive. He's been very innovative in his thinking and his approach as to how to build something and also keep the costs down. And I guess I have a question for Dr. Lieber. Why don't we make a poster child out of Harford County? The county executive is all on board. They're building a new school, I guess.
It's planned.
Why don't we make this a Monarch Academy type poster child where we take what we can and drop the per square foot cost way down? Not identical to Monarch, but they're willing. You think there's some good ideas in this. Why don't we single them out and say, let's try to do something innovative with Harford County?
If they wish to submit it, showing an alternative building technology, we would consider that. We'd sort of take a look at that.
Uh-huh.
We'd ask the same kinds of questions that we ask about any project that's submitted. What is the lifespan? How will it be maintained? Are they really taking into account the life cycle analysis? Those are the kinds of questions which I think are responsible to ask. We'd certainly be open and receptive to any alternatives that are presented. We have two jurisdictions that may be considering pre-engineering buildings for smaller buildings. They're not in this year's cycle, but they may be coming up in the next year's cycle. And we're all ears to see those submitted and to see what's involved.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
How do we begin a pilot program? That's the question. Because it didn't sound like it was a very receptive. You sounded like your ears were open, but it didn't sound like there was going to be a lot of approval if all the standards have to be met. I mean, who's to say the standards are right?
We don't have design construction standards. There are no state construction standards except the DGS roofing policy. Now, that is quite true. Any jurisdiction is free to submit modular building, tilt-up construction, pre-engineering building, and we will look at it. And one of our recommendations in the Monarch study that we submitted in October was to conduct a pilot study to have a jurisdiction which is rolling out, say, two projects at the same time, to have one of those projects follow commercial building standards, the other follow more traditional standards, and then see how they compare to one another in terms of first cost and in terms of life cycle cost. We think that would be a fair test to see what the real implications are. So a pilot study would be a very good thing to do.
Good. I think you should do it. Yes, Mr. County Executive.
Mr. Comptroller, I may just do a pilot. We may RFP this project and use commercial building standards and move ahead and see if that's possible, if the IEC will cooperate with us. Because based on the current formula on a $120 million project, if we're only going to get $20 million, it may be cheaper to go ahead for the county to do it. If we're freed up from all of the red tape and formulas that the IEC puts on us.
Okay.
But so maybe next year I'll come back here and tell you it works.
I really have to correct the impression that the IAC has building standards that are holding up the submission of any innovative project. We are not. We are not requiring masonry walls. It's a good practice, we think, for durability. But if a school system submitted alternatives and they could show us how they intend to maintain it and that it's right for the situation, we certainly would be interested. We have metal siding buildings. We have IFAS as building siding material in some situations. So I want to be clear.
Well, the devil is in the details, I think. So you see what the specifics are, you all
together. Madam Treasurer, I do have a technical team appointed to study these alternate routes with the Board of Education. And when we get to a point, what I'd like to see, why I mentioned the funding for a community school, I'd like the state be able to tell me on a $100 million project, the traditional route, what we would get for a community school. And then I'm just going to evaluate it against doing it through the private sector. And if it's cheaper for me to go that way, I want to be able to do it. And if I'm paying the freight, I think we should be freed up to do it.
Great. Thank you, Mr. County Exec.
Okay.
We're ready.
Howard County.
Now, on Howard County, before your official presentation, I see Delegate Warren Miller is here. We want to address an issue here that we've received a lot of correspondence and input to the Board of Public Works on. Over the last several years, Howard County has seen mold issues in several schools. The most egregious instance is Glenwood Middle School in western Howard County. Several Glenwood students and teachers became very ill and required hospitalization. News reports revealed that the school systems officials knew about these mold issues in the school but did not inform parents or school community until much later. There's a palpable loss of trust between many parents and the county school system, and in particular with superintendent. On January 5th, a fire broke out at Glenwood Middle School during its school day, requiring the evacuation of students. Due to the fire and mold issues, students have had to be relocated to three different nearby schools until these problems have been resolved. The Board of Public Works has received numerous letters of concern about maintenance and mold issues and from a school board member, from concerned parents, and from Delegate Warren Miller, who is here and signed up to speak today. So thank you, Delegate Miller.
I'll be brief, Mr. Governor. Thank you, the Comptroller and the Treasurer, to listening to the concerns of my constituents. It's unfortunate. We come from a wealthy county. There are concerns about the existing roofs over some of the schools, the conditions of those roofs. Glenwood Middle, the concerns go back to 2010. They've been expressed to the school board and the school system, and I think some parents and educators are still concerned that these concerns have not been addressed properly. So I appreciate you seeing the correspondence, and anything you can do to supervise public dollars for these schools and make sure the money's being spent correctly would be much appreciated.
So, Delegate, it's the wealthiest county in the United States, right?
I think it's like number 4 or 5.
And
per capita.
What do you think the problem is with these serious mold issues in Howard County that are worse than we're experiencing anywhere else in the state?
It goes back to the conditions of the roofs. I can cite Bushy Park Elementary School, 8-year-old school. The roof leaked from day one. I'm not sure why the roofer wasn't forced to correct the issue. I can't speak to the policies of the school system. But as these roofs fail, now in the case of Glenwood, it's almost a 50-year-old school. And we all know the age of the school isn't the concern. It's the way it's maintained. I mean, I expect when I was a kid, the old Lisbon Elementary School was a 100-year-old school. It was fine. It had been well maintained. So what I ask is, simply as you give the county these dollars, you put the oversight in to make sure. The other concern, I've heard there are as many as 20 no-bid contracts awarded by Howard County Public Schools in the last 2 years. Sometimes they're paying double and triple the going rates for these services. That concerns me as a parent of school-aged children and as a taxpayer. So I'd appreciate anything you guys can do when you're dealing with the school system to make sure that the dollars are going where they're supposed to go and you're getting the results you're looking for.
Well, the IAC is recommending $22 million in state funds, and we're certainly going to request that the school system superintendent reports back to the Board of Public Works on the steps taken to address these maintenance and particularly mold issues.
That's all I can ask for. I appreciate that.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to talk about Howard County?
Is Dr. Foose here?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Franchot, and Treasurer Kopp, and everyone else. I'm Christine O'Connor, the chairman of the Howard County Board of Education. I appreciate this opportunity to advocate for the county's 54,000 students in appealing the Interagency Committee on School Construction's recommendations for capital projects. Our commitment is to ensure that our school system provides an educational environment that allows every Howard County student to achieve, even in today's challenging economic climate. We are mindful of our fiduciary responsibilities to our community and want to ensure that every dollar invested brings a maximum return in value to the instructional process. We must not only provide for our current students, but also prepare for the new student enrollment. Howard County has experienced significant enrollment growth over the past decade and is projected to continue with its growth, with this growth in the next decade, with the growth of more than 11,000 new students by 2016. Our capital budget requests prioritize capital capacity projects for this reason. Maintenance of existing facilities is also important as we understand the importance of continuing to make capital investments that will reduce our life cycle operating costs. Our budget includes requests for this purpose as well. We have embraced building and operating our facilities for the most efficient use. Energy conservation measures have been implemented by students and staff throughout our system. With the result that most of our schools have been certified as green schools. Every new school's construction and renovation project is designed to ensure LEED eligibility. We're looking forward to the completion of the replacement Wild Lake Middle School, which is on track to open in August 2017. We are proud to build the first net zero school in Maryland. It will integrate seamlessly with our environmental educational curriculum, serve as a living example for students of the value and use of advanced energy resources, provide much-needed additional student capacity, and contribute to the revitalization of downtown Columbia. Receiving the balance of the FY 2017 state funding requests for Waverly Elementary Renovation Addition, New Elementary School Number 42, Bonnie Branch Middle School HVAC and Manor Woods Elementary HVAC would allow us to move forward with our dual capital improvement goals of preparing for the arrival of new students while performing necessary, timely, and improved energy efficiency maintenance towards existing school facilities. Our system is grateful for all of the support provided by our state government partners. Thank you for your careful consideration of our request for additional capital funding to support Howard County schools and students. Now I introduce Dr. Renee Foose.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Governor.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Franchot. I'd like to introduce the other board members and staff that are here with me today. Our vice chairperson is Ellen Flynn Giles, board member Ann DeLacy, Cynthia Valancourt is here as well, and Dr. Janet Siddiqui. I have staff members with me as well, Bruce Gist, who is our Executive Director of Facilities and Operations, and our Director of Communications, John White, is in the back. It's a pleasure to be here today. Again, I'm Renee Foose, Superintendent of Howard County, and we're here to appeal the Interagency Committee on School
Construction. Before you get into your reading your testimony, can you address the mold issue that I discussed?
I can. You want me to start with that?
If you could.
I would be delighted to. And I certainly appreciate that we have members of our political delegation that are here to advocate on behalf of increased funding. We had at the specific school that the delegate was talking about, in 2010, we had some issues with some roof issues as a result of the type of roof. The school's 50 years old. We do our best to keep our old facilities up and running, and you know, the comptroller has visited some of our oldest schools and applauded us publicly for the maintenance that we do. And this school is no exception. Being 50 years old, things are going to go wrong. So we replaced the roof. There was a humidity issue in that building that led to some mold concerns. We had some indoor air quality engineers in. We remediated the problem by accelerating the replacement of the HVAC system to the tune of $3 million. we replaced that. We've been doing air monitoring in that building for the last 6 months and publicly report out on the environmental air quality conditions in that building. So we've been, the problem is behind us. We've solved the humidity problem that led to some mold issues that occurred last summer when the building was unoccupied. The letter that you received from the delegate, I have a letter to give to you today to clarify some of the information that's in there that's factual and well supported by the work that we have done. We do not have a mold issue in our schools. In that particular school, we had a humidity issue.
Well,
and
just,
we resolved
let me just
that.
Say, it's not just the letter from the delegate. It's,
I understand.
There's a huge concern in your county in lots of places, and it needs to be addressed. So I wouldn't just dismiss it as if it's, there's not an issue.
I'm not dismissing it.
Everyone's talking about it in your county. It's a big deal.
No.
A lot of people are very concerned, not just the people that got sick, but other people that are paying taxpayers.
And we have done, and we're doing regular monitoring of the air quality in that building, and we have not had a problem with the air monitoring in that school. The humidity levels and the mold spore counts are well within the range.
But then you have a communication problem.
I guess we do. And we've been communicating out the results routinely. And all those are publicly available.
Communications, you also had the inspection report, which says, quote, various roof conditions at five of the schools received individual ratings of not adequate or poor. Although the leaks were noticed in the semi-annual roof inspection reports, it appears that maintenance repairs were not made. Can you address that, too?
Was that the 2014 report
yes.
that was just recently released?
Yes.
2013 report?
No, it's 14.
2014?
The most recent report.
Excuse me, it was 2013. It has that quote in it. Page 35.
Right. You're right.
We have since made repairs.
So that's what I'm asking. When you respond to the other, can you give us a response?
When they're brought to our attention, we respond to them. Our roof replacement cycle is on, it's on schedule with the regular cycle that we replace our roofs, and we look at that. As a matter of fact, a lot of our roof replacements have been, we've been incorporating the funding for that in our renovation projects. We inspect our roofs twice a year, and when we find deficiencies, we address them. The delegate brought up an issue at one of our elementary schools, and we are pursuing legal remedies because we're having issues with the contractor about replacing a roof that's only 8 years old. It's not to the quality that we expect it to be, and so we're pursuing that aggressively.
Well, all I'm asking is when you respond factually to the other things, would you include, please, a specific response?
My apologies. Yes. Yes.
Any other questions?
So are the kids back in the school, Glenwood?
Technically we're on a snow day today. But, yes, we had on January 5th, we had a fire in the building as a result of electrical lines that do not belong to us, that belong to the Baltimore Gas and Electric Company, that started underground outside of the school that led into our boiler room. We did an evacuation of that building and a thorough replacement of everything that was damaged along with Baltimore Gas and Electric. And we could probably use your help recovering some of the fees that we've incurred from Baltimore Gas and Electric on that issue. When we return to school, beyond the inclement weather, the children will be back in that building.
So it didn't have anything to do with the HVAC installation?
Nothing.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I understand that when the teachers went back, four of them, or staff members, I guess, complained of feeling ill. This was something sent to the parents. Two were transported to Carroll County Hospital. Both complained of dizziness. One of whom was found to have elevated blood. The other two people returned, blah, blah. And then it's the teachers came back again, and they detected the odor of cleaning products, I guess. And then everybody went in and said there's nothing there. But if there's nothing there, what happened to those four staff members?
Well, the four staff members that you're referencing were sensitive to the cleaning products that were used in the building. Two of those staff members were, they asked to be transported to a hospital, and they were released. The other two staff members went back to work in their classrooms, and it was determined that it was the cleaning products that they were sensitive to. As a matter of fact, one of the folks transported is so sensitive that in her own home she acknowledged cleaning only with vinegar and water. So she has a heightened sensitivity to the cleaning products. After the fire, we scrubbed the building top to bottom. and we laundered everything in the building the gym, right down to the gym clothes for the students. And so it did smell like a squeaky clean school. We had an open house for our community to come in before the blizzard came in, and everybody was very happy with the state of the school at that point. The community was very pleased.
So was there mold in the building or not?
We detected mold last summer. This time, no. We detected mold last summer.
Right.
And we determined that the presence of mold was the result of a heating and air conditioning unit. So we accelerated the replacement of that to the tune of $3 million. That solved the problem of the humidity that was leading to the sporadic areas of mold growth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when did you inform the parents about the mold?
We routinely don't. We didn't have a epic mold outbreak. We were informing them as we were responding to this as a maintenance issue because it was a humidity issue and a smell of odors. And we had contractors and different engineers in and out of the building. We were trying to determine what exactly is the source of this problem. And when it escalated into, we had a community meeting in August that we shared all of our information. And since then, we have firms going in doing routine monitoring of spore counts and humidity. And everything is well within the normal range. We've not had, I know that the letters you're receiving are saying that students are sick, and we've not had that. We don't have students coming to the nurse's office higher in this school than in any of the other schools that we have in the school system. So I'm not certain that that's completely accurate.
So when the several students and teachers were hospitalized for being ill, you think it was their imagination? You never had a mold problem? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it was an imagination.
But you didn't have a problem, and you didn't think it was worth notifying the parents that there could have been a problem?
I'm not familiar with the hospitalization of a staff member or students.
My understanding is students and teachers were hospitalized last summer.
That is not my knowledge.
Maybe I'll go back and check.
Could I just ask a question about the utility company? You said something about fees that are being charged to the school system.
Well, the fire that resulted on January 5th was determined by the fire department that it was an underground electrical wiring that belongs to the Baltimore Gas and Electric Company that feeds into the school. And so the fire started there with their lines. So the cost to get this school back online, I think Baltimore Gas and Electric needs to bear some of that responsibility.
Do you have that in writing from your folks that
we do.
This is caused by
yes.
the utility company?
Yes.
Well, definitely send it to us.
Uh-huh.
And weren't there a lot of concerns that somehow the aging distribution panel boards or something, these were rushed during the HVAC replacement, which was completed just 2 days before the teachers returned to the buildings? Isn't there some connection between the electrical malfunction and the rush to get the HVAC system operational?
No. That's not what we've concluded. We had permits. You need permits before you do all this. All the licensing and permits were in place. Everything was tested. The HVAC system runs on a 2,000 watt capacity. Our generators were, up to now. I'd have to have one of our engineers speak directly to you, but that's not our knowledge. No, there was nothing rushed. We accelerated the timeline to put a new HVAC system in, and so far as the renovation cycle, but we took our time to do the work and do it correctly.
So you said that this all the middle school kids will be back in?
As soon as we open schools back up from the
end. And how many how many kids go back to school?
500 or 600 students.
And what do you anticipate as to the reaction from the kids, if any?
Well, we had an open house right before this blizzard came, and they were excited, to be back in the building. They liked how it looked, how it felt. I mean, of course they want to be back in their school. They're going to be excited about it.
Yeah, no, I think that's terrific. But the question is, what, if anything, are they going to react to that apparently these staff members who, I take it the issue is that they're very, very sensitive to, or one of them is very sensitive to anything other than vinegar, What about the kids? Are they, you anticipating any difficulty?
I'm not. I'm not at all.
So it's pretty much your testimony that you don't have any mold issues or problems in the Howard County schools?
It's my testimony that the issues that we had at Glenwood Middle School
are all taken care of.
Taken care of, and we're doing our best to make sure that the buildings, all of them, remain a healthy environment for students to learn and for teachers to work. We're committed to safety.
So all the concerns are for naught.
Those aren't my words, Governor. They're not for naught, but we're addressing the issues as they come up. This was an issue of humidity that came up that led to some mold growth, and we took care of it. And we continue to monitor the air quality in that building very closely. And we spent $50,000 so far this school year from August until now just to make sure that we don't have a reoccurrence of this issue.
Okay. Well, we're recommending $22 million in state funds, and we'd like you to stay on top of this issue and report back to us on any additional mold issues that you discover and any ongoing maintenance steps that you're taking to address the problem. Thank you.
Can we talk about that $22
million? No, we're way past your time limit, unfortunately.
Well, I'm going to give you a letter, if that's okay, that addresses some of the issues that we've done, that outlines everything.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Durso, president of the Montgomery County Board of Education. I'm here today with Mr. Larry Bowers, interim superintendent of schools, to thank you for your past support and ask that you fully fund our current request. We appreciate the state providing $39.84 million in school construction funds in fiscal 2016 for Montgomery County through the state public school construction program. We also appreciate the additional $5.9 million in state aid for school construction projects due to the capital grant program for local school systems with significant enrollment growth, or relocatable classrooms legislation approved by the Assembly in April 2015. Our burgeoning enrollment growth continues, increasing this year to 156,447 students, a one-year increase of 2,595. By 2021, we anticipate growth to exceed 166,000. Which is a staggering increase of more than 28,000 students since 2007. Beginning in 2007, we have gained more than 18,000 students, mostly elementary. This is more than the combined growth in Anne Arundel, Howard, Frederick, and Baltimore counties, and the equivalent of 24 elementary schools with a capacity of 740 students each. As the elementary students articulate to the secondary schools, there will be a need for more than 10,000 middle and high school seats, the equivalent of 4 middle schools and 3 high schools. No other jurisdiction is seeing this unprecedented growth. Who are our students? Between 1970 and 2015, our system has changed from one that was predominantly white, non-Hispanic, to one with a very diverse population, and where white non-Hispanic enrollment is now only a bit over 30% of the total. 35% of our students qualify for free and reduced price meals. This is an increase of 24,000 students in 1994 to more than 54,000 students currently. We continue to enroll half of Maryland English for speakers of other language students, providing services to more than 22,000 students representing 158 countries and 127 languages. More than three-fourths of these students are born in the United States. While the county has provided substantial financial support, for which we are most grateful, it has not been, nor will it ever be, enough. State aid, for which we are appreciative, has not kept pace with our clear and documented needs. If we are to have any hope of closing this capacity gap and addressing our aging facilities, it is crucial that our state aid request be approved and imperative that we receive continued as well as additional state support to maintain our commitment to provide excellent facilities for our student and staff. Thank you for your time and attention to our concerns and for your continued consideration of our state aid request.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Bowers. I'm the interim superintendent. I'd like to introduce Dr. Andrew Zuckerman, who's the chief operating officer, Mr. James Song, who is the director of facilities management. The Interagency Committee on Public School Construction has recommended a funding of $25.7 million of our nearly $150 million request, and we are here to appeal the balance of those funds. Before you is our written testimony and the list of projects included in our appeal, which only begins to identify the depth of the needs that we have. As we continue to grow by more than 10,000 students over the next 6 years, funding for these many more projects will be added to this list for additional seats to address this growth. And I want to emphasize that almost every project on that list provides additional seats for this student growth. Since 2007, as you heard, we added 19,000 students, and over that period of time, we added 14,000 seats. Mr. Durso has already shared with you that 10,000 more students are coming over the next 6 years, the equivalent of three more high schools, four more middle schools. But rather than discussing the specific projects, I'm going to talk to you about two areas that I think you need to consider when looking at the Montgomery County Public Schools request: our efforts to reduce reconstruction and capital costs, and the uniqueness of our enrollment growth. I know how important the issue of cost is to this body. It is an area that we have been addressing in Montgomery County for some time. I'm proud of the work that we have done to keep construction costs down and to be good stewards of the state's taxpayers' dollars. I agree with you that this is essential. I take my fiscal responsibility very seriously. I have been responsible for the MCPS capital budget since 1993 when I became the chief financial officer. We look at life cycle costs of a project, which includes all of the maintenance, all of the system replacements, all of the utility costs over time. I believe that our approach results in lower costs over the life cycle and over compared to different construction methods. And although it may be higher than initial costs over the life cycle of a building, we believe it's lower. But first, I want to thank Mr. Francho for coming out to Montgomery County a few weeks ago. We visited together at Rock Creek Forest Elementary School. The school recently underwent a revitalization and expansion project. The original building was 43,000 square feet. It is now 98,000 square feet to address facility needs and the growing enrollment. Rock Creek Forest Elementary School was originally built in 1950, at a time when MCPS was building five or six schools every year. Over a 20-year period, right after World War II, until the baby bust in the early 1990s, we were building five or six schools every year. Schools were built quickly, and they were built as inexpensively as possible. And they were not meant to last. When we finally replaced Rock Creek Forest, after 55 years, it was time. The school also was originally built for 300 students. It's now serving over 700 students. And it was built at a time when environmental and safety requirements were very different. These features now add 12 to 15% to every one of our projects. The Rock Creek Forest Elementary School construction cost was $199 a square foot. Site construction cost was $50 a square foot, totaling $249 a square foot. The building cost was below the state reimbursement rate of $215 a square foot. Some examples of the environmental regulatory standards that attribute to the cost of our schools and schools throughout the state include stormwater management regulation, forest conservation law that has become increasingly difficult to meet, the leadership in energy and environmental design silver rating requirement that also provides additional costs as we build these buildings, and stricter building requirements related to acoustics and classroom, energy performance, and the building envelope that have resulted in increased construction costs. Our revitalization expansion program is implemented in order to preserve as much of the existing structure as possible, but it also results in the demolition of portions of the building that cannot be modified or renovated to meet the current standards. As programmatic changes have occurred over the past decade, our school buildings have changed to meet both the new curriculum requirements as well as the student capacity requirements. Existing building elements, such as mechanical and ventilation systems, foundations, and corridor widths, do not meet the current demands, and single-story building sprawl is often not an option. We have taken a number of steps to keep construction costs low. We have listed many of those in our testimony, so I'm not going to go through all of those. But as you can see, we take containing our costs very seriously, and we put in place a number of strategies in order to keep our costs low. All of these best practices have been refined over the past 30 years. Finally, we have been a leader in environmental sustainability, implementing a number of strategies that have protected the environment while at the same time reduced our longer-term costs. Perhaps no greater example is our commitment to the emphasis on solar energy. Currently, we have 12 roofs with solar panels, and we're scheduled to do 4 more this summer. I am sharing all of this with you because I want you to know that when we come here, year after year, asking for the necessary dollars to complete our capital projects, we are doing everything we can to reduce our costs and to be the type of stewards of public dollars that we know you and our constituents expect of us. Finally, I just want to share a little more information about our unique enrollment situation. Our construction program cannot simply keep up with our dramatic enrollment growth. You've heard that how quickly we have grown. Since 1985, more than 63,500 student increase, larger than all but 4 school systems in the entire state. Every year we are setting new records of enrollment, 156,000 this year, 2,600 more students. We are by far the fastest growing school system. Given all of this, we respectfully ask for an increase in the share of state construction dollars. You have heard us talk during our testimony in years past. Montgomery County has 17.6% of the student enrollment in the state, yet we continually get about 12 to 13% of the construction dollars. If we receive 17.6% of the construction dollars, we would get $55 million. We need at least this amount of state construction funding to allow us to get closer to addressing the tremendous needs we have as a result of our growth, which is unlike anywhere else in the state. We will continue to do our part to keep construction costs down. I hope the Board of Public Works will seriously consider our request today. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Any questions? Madam Treasurer? Questions?
No, except could you send us your responses to the maintenance inspection points?
Okay.
I'm sure you've done it already.
Well, we just got the 2014 one.
Oh, you haven't done it already. Well, when you do it.
I just got it on Thursday, I think.
Part of it is the question of roofing again, mm-hmm. which, I mean, I know the county schools, there's ongoing, especially, I assume, flat roof.
We've increased our roof budget to $12 million. We've gotten a little bit behind. We're probably at around 23 to 24 years of replacement, so we need to bring that back down. It is something we're taking a look at. I'll emphasize that a lot of the other problems, the HVAC is just as significant. We have about a $300 million backlog in HVAC projects. So our request for the next 2 years is $30 million a year, each year. Not sure we're going to be able to do that, but as our buildings get older, we need to replace these systems. There's a significant cost for roofs, HVAC, and certain other systems. So we will get that to you.
No, thank you very much for hosting my visit to Rock Creek. I was very impressed with the media center, with the geothermal heating and cooling system you put in there, and just the general look of the school and the fact that you eliminated 6 portable classrooms with that one new school alone. Pretty impressive. Just a couple of quick questions. How many portable classrooms are there in Montgomery?
Just a tad below 400. 380?
Yeah, we have about 4 or 5 total, but 341 is currently used for classrooms.
Gotcha. And at the end of the tour, Dr. Bowers, you arranged for 6 teachers to speak to us about testing. What was your takeaway from particularly the fourth grade teachers? Because I thought it was unique. I've never heard directly from teachers what they were saying.
I was so impressed with them that, you know, you didn't throw them off. You didn't get them too excited. And they were, I think, honest and open.
Yeah.
I think they shared their concerns. I think they shared the reasons why we test. I think that as the state assessment task force takes a look at all of this information, we're certainly going to listen to teachers and listen to others as we, I'm part of that task force, as we make our recommendations to the State Board of Education. But that was very enlightening for me, too. It was just very open and very honest, and you know, it's always helpful to hear directly from teachers like that. So I appreciated you,
thank you,
talking about that instead of the building.
And maybe you could just speak for a minute about your concept of solar panels. The treasurer mentioned your roof maintenance issue. I believe you have a objective or vision for putting solar panels on roofs of schools in Montgomery County and other areas around the school grounds that could not only defray electrical costs but actually produce some positive revenue.
Yes, we're looking to put solar panels, quite honestly, wherever we can, but wherever it has to make sense for the companies that are actually installing them, that it's worthwhile for them, and that we get benefits out of it. As you you know, we have been putting green roofs on a lot of our buildings. My preference has always been solar panels. So again, there's great environmental benefit from both of them, but right now, you know, we can actually generate a lot of revenue to reduce our utility costs. So long term, it has some potential. As we put new roofs on, we're hoping then, because you can't put it on an older roof, you've got to put it on a newer roof, because you can't be replacing solar panels if a roof has to be replaced in 9 or 10 years. So we're looking to do a lot more of it in the future. We're looking at other open space to put solar panels on if we can.
So maybe you can stick around for a few years.
That would be good. He stuck around for a while. The question's the role.
But also, thank you for the delicious bowl of matzo ball soup that you brought me afterwards. Rarely get someone treating me for lunch, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Less than $25.
Oh, yeah. That was a big bowl, but it wasn't $25.
A question has been raised and was raised in past maintenance inspection reports that things were inspected. I'm thinking back on roofs. Things were inspected, but the maintenance didn't follow up. I'm sure you've seen this. Could you respond to that? Not this moment. Respond to that. Secondly, I think it was St. Mary's County where they said they were putting up solar but not on the roof in order to not vitiate or
the warranties
or go against or create a problem. I assume you're looking at all that before you do the solar roofs, and
absolutely,
if you could address that in writing also,
okay.
I'd appreciate it. As you know, I think solar is terrific. You don't want to create problems when there is a record of expanding numbers of schools, roof problems, and now you put something else on top.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have a quick question on your green roofs. You're putting those on new construction?
Yes.
Because on existing, you can have collapse.
No, just
okay.
On new.
Just
yes.
Clarify. Okay. It appears, though, that the IAC is, they at least provided some funding for all your A projects, and you're appealing the rest on the A projects, but many of your other projects, which are not at the A level. So we'll have to look at that, and I'm quite sure there'll be a closer look. Your full request, you know, unfortunately, is almost half of what is allocated for school construction. So it's just, to disappoint you a little bit, I don't think you're going to get the whole amount. So.
We appreciate anything you can do.
Thank you. And the governor is well aware of the surge in enrollment in Montgomery County and understands that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Could I ask one more question
before you go.
Mr. Bowers leaves?
Before you go.
Just one last. My understanding, I understand B is B instead of A because of lack of funds or
But my understanding is a couple of these other categories, the C and Ds, because there's a disagreement between the county and the state policy on square foot per student in certain areas. Could you also follow up on that?
Okay, we will. And one of the things we presented to the IAC and we discuss every year, and we'd be happy to follow up, is that we do have some class size reduction schools in our focus, our highly impacted schools, those that are most impacted by farms. Kindergarten grades 1 and 2 class sizes are 19 and 20. And we've asked for years to change the state guidelines to reflect those school systems that have a class size initiative to support our kids who need those lower class sizes. Those additional supports.
And so, I assume you have some research to back up the positive impact.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now we have
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Kevin Maxwell. I'm the Chief Executive Officer for Prince George's County Public Schools. Joining me today is Curtis Valentine, a member of our Board of Education, representing the board today. Our County Executive, Mr. Sharon Baker. Former Delegate Baker, that's correct. Our Chief of...
And Howard U. alumnus.
That's correct, too. And our, I'll have to put all that in my introduction. And our Chief of Operations, Monica Golson, a couple other members of my exec team, and our support staff for the organization represented a team of architects, planners, engineers, and educators who developed our fiscal year 2017-22 capital improvement plan. Prince George's County Public Schools appreciates the recommendations to date for $24.7 million out of our total request of $71.5 million, and want to thank you for this initial commitment. However, our appeal today is to share the urgency of our request and to urge you to fully fund our projects, including our very important request for planning approval for upcoming projects. We have begun a major change in Prince George's County Public Schools, turning from a program of primarily emergency projects towards a major renovation program, while also keeping up with the demand for new schools and expanded schools in the portion of the county that is exhibiting significant enrollment growth. In order to make sure that we are acting on impartial information, we brought in a third-party planning and assessment team to look at our inventory. The study called the Master Plan Support Project is groundbreaking in that it answers the following questions for each school and for our school system. What will it take to bring this school into a state of good repair? What physical deficiencies are most critical to student well-being? What will it take to align this facility to support 21st century learning? How well is this school utilized? Is this school sized correctly for its projected enrollment? And how does this school and its set of issues and opportunities fit into its planning area with adjacent schools, taking into account program, grade alignment, and other factors? The study showed a need for 8 new schools, along with additions at many schools to address severe overcrowding. It also disclosed that our aging inventory requires more than just patchwork if we are to provide up-to-date educational programs, meet current building codes, and operate an inventory that is in a state of good repair. We must invest with a long-term vision and invest in smart, comprehensive, and cost-effective projects in order to maximize the impact of limited capital dollars. The cost for this is significant. The consultants estimate the investment over $8 billion over 20 years. We have begun the conversations around how to fund such a need, and we recognize that the funding will not appear overnight, but we must embrace this holistic approach. Our approach is consistent with IAC recommended best practices of matching systemic improvements with work that supports enhanced educational programming and practices. At the same time, we're working to identify prudent economies, and we are supportive of efforts to streamline delivery of construction projects. The fiscal year 2017-22 CIP represents the first 6-year cycle in this long-range plan. Most of the projects in the CIP are requesting planning approval at this stage. The planning approvals are a critical step in allowing us to address long-standing deficiencies and overcrowding. The state share for our proposed fiscal year 2017 capital investment program, as I stated, is $71.5 million. This includes $3 million for a special education initiative project at Stephen Decatur Middle School. That appeal is for construction funding, $14.6 million for limited renovations at two schools, C. Elizabeth Reig and the Bowie Bel Air Annex. The appeal is for $4 million in construction funding for C. Elizabeth Reig Special Center and planning funding of $10.576 million for the Bowie Bel Air Annex. $3 million for major renovation in addition to the aging William Schmidt Outdoor Environmental Center, which will serve as a home base for environmental education programs. That appeal is for planning and funding. $41.6 million for our most important systemic renovation projects, of which $24.7 million has been approved, and that appeal is for $16.9 million balance. And $9.3 million of state funding for four school construction projects approved by the state that were fully funded by the county. These forward-funded projects remain a high priority for reimbursement. The reimbursement of these funds will enable the funding of other high-priority school projects. Our six-year plan for modernizations includes 18 elementary schools, two special centers, and one new school, 14 middle schools, two of them new, one as a replacement, and six high schools, one new, two replacements, including Fairmont Heights, that is in construction, and one international high school. These projects will be requesting state planning and funding in the next 6 years. With these projects indicated above, plus our county initiative for other projects, our proposed funding for the next 6 years is $2.4 billion with a state request of over $832 million to support our needs. In closing, I hope this testimony has provided you with a clear picture of our needs in Prince George's County public schools and a justification for the level of funding requested for our fiscal year 2017 CIP submission. I want to thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. I appreciate your continued support in enabling us to provide Prince George's County's children the quality facilities they deserve. And I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Curtis Valentine, representing our Board of Education at this time.
Thank you, Dr. Maxwell. My name is Curtis Valentine. I'm an at-large member of the Prince George's County Board of Education, and I'm here to testify to appeal the recommendations made by the IAC. While we acknowledge and thank the IAC for their approval for a number of projects, we are requesting a balance of funds for FY 2017 CIP to support the projects not yet recommended for approval. We are appreciative of the funding that has been recommended by the IAC for projects to start or continue. However, this sum represents only 34.5% of the state funds requested and needed to address our backlog of deferred maintenance, our enrollment growth, and our need for functional upgrades. Therefore, full funding of our CIP beyond the $24.7 million recommended for Prince George's County at this juncture is critical to ensuring adequate educational facilities are provided to meet the needs of our students and teachers. We respectfully request your consideration of our appeal for the full funding of Prince George's County Public Schools FY 2017 CIP request. The Master Plan Support Project showed an urgent need for eight new schools, along with additions at many schools to address severe overcrowding. It also showed that our aging inventory requires more than just patchwork if we are to provide up-to-date educational programs, meet current building codes, and operate an inventory that is in a state of good repair. We must invest with a long-term vision and invest in smart, comprehensive, and cost-effective projects in order to maximize the impact of limited dollars. Dr. Maxwell stated the cost of needed improvements in new schools is significant. We are building our capability and capacity to manage this effort. We are looking for creative funding sources and program efficiencies. However, given that most of our inventory are existing schools averaging 40 years old, a very substantial investment is long overdue. In closing, I hope the testimony has provided the Board of Public Works with a clear picture of the needs of Prince George's County Public Schools and justification for the level of funding requested in the FY 2017 CIP submission. I also think this is important that you know the school board and our local county government fully support this year's request. I want to thank you for this opportunity to speak to you today and appreciate your continued support in enabling us to provide our students the quality facilities they deserve. We would be happy to answer your questions. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Baker.
Thank you. I want to thank my colleagues for leaving me so much time. Look, it's a good thing it's very quick. First of all, let me just do this. I want to thank the Lieutenant Governor for reaching out to me during the snowstorm. That was very helpful, having the National Guard there. So thank you, and I want to thank the Governor also. Certainly the Board of Public Works, my old friends and colleagues. We're here as a county government. I mean, the best I can say is that we've had a growing enrollment in our schools. That's the good news. People are starting to come back to our public schools. The bad news is we have old schools. The county is ready and willing to do its part. We need this additional funding from the state to help us move the county forward and to renovate and to build these new schools. The last thing I'll say is, you know, we've been doing a lot of economic development throughout the county. But what we managed to do is to tie that to where our schools inside the Beltway areas, the comptroller visited one of our schools at Suitland High School, which needs repairs, that we're teaming with our economic development. So we're putting our county dollars, matching where the state dollars are coming, but we're also building around there. And so we thank you for your support of the school system in the past. We thank you for the additional dollars that you've already given us, but we appeal to you for the balance of the fund. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
I don't know if you heard me ask Montgomery, but I'm asking you the same thing, Dr. Maxwell, and that is the maintenance inspection reports draw attention most particularly to the roof issues, particularly this year. I assume you will have a response to it. And
yeah, we're happy to send that to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd say all over the state that Dr. Maxwell's the best superintendent around. And, you know, hats off to the county executive for poaching you away from wherever he got you. But,
thank you, sir.
You know, that's quite a move.
Yeah, and I'm on the county sitting right here.
Oh, okay, sorry. But seriously.
George is a great guy, too. Yeah. He really is, you know.
Seriously,
thank you.
You know, you have an outstanding superintendent. And Mr. County Executive, my hat is off to you for the Junior Academy Finance Park that you and the school system with the school board, Mr. Valentine, pioneered. This is an absolutely iconic facility. It is the only one in the state of Maryland. We need another 23 of them in every other jurisdiction, but I was delighted to be there in October when you cut the ribbon, and I guess, you know, as everyone knows, I believe financial literacy for young people is vital. Frankly, some of the older people could get it, too. But maybe you could just give me your brief thoughts on that program, how it's working in practice.
It's actually running very, very well. We missed a few days here with the weather, and we'll miss a day or two more, perhaps, but it's full every single day. We're really thrilled, and we've actually been hosting, you know, a couple of business groups and others there in some of the conference room space, so they can see it as well. I think you know that, you know, we visited the one in Fairfax County when I first arrived back in Prince George's County and held an executive team meeting at that facility so that my whole team could see it and explore it. So, you know, I see our relationship is strengthening. Our schools are responding well. Our chief operating officer made sure to appropriate funding for transportation to and from the facility for all of our schools. So we're really just thrilled with the way it's opened up and the way it's running.
For sure, and this is really your leadership that allowed it. So.
Yeah, this really has been a wonder for us in the county. And as I said at the ribbon cutting, that this has been a vision for the county for a while. Wayne Curry, along with you, have been, you know, pushed this issue, and thank you for your leadership. But where it's placed is significant. Right there inside the heart of the Beltway in an area that has challenges. And to have this facility where these children, our children, are going to learn financial management is great, and it's a wonderful facility, and it speaks a lot to the growth. So it's been a dream come true for us. And, you know, it gives us a little bit to say, you know, when Montgomery County comes over, that we have something they don't have.
Good. Yeah, in a good way. Thank you very much. And then just...
Peter, one sad moment. You recall John Tidings, who for so many years was the director of the Greater Washington Board of Trade and was such a keen supporter, and a keen supporter of the Northern Virginia Center. And he's one of the last things he said and was talking about was his hopes for having exactly the sort of academy that you've got there right now. So the tradition and the strength from the entire Washington area is behind you and most appreciated.
Thank you. No, it's terrific.
I just had a quick question on Tanglewood Regional School. I see that it's listed as needing roofing repairs and that it's on the I believe the list to replace the HVAC system. Is that, but it's also listed on the schools recommended for closure. What's the status of that school?
So I think if the list that you're looking at,
I may have it wrong.
Well, again, we have to separate out the master plan support project, which has schools over the next 20 years that they're saying may need to be closed. But we certainly would never invest that kind of money in a school that was going to close in the short term. But we've been getting some calls because the master plan project, again, spans 20 years. We've been getting calls from people where a school is in there for possible closure 15 years from now. So, but we'll get you the exact year and make sure that you're aware of where it falls.
Okay.
Thank you. Great. Thank you.
I have a question on the $9.3 million that you said forward funded. Which schools are those?
I think David has them, but Rupert, do you have them?
Good afternoon, Governor. Rupert McCabe, CIP officer. The schools in question for the $9.3 million are Rosa Parks Elementary, Mary Harris Mother Jones Elementary School, Lake Arbor Elementary School, and Suitland Elementary School, which was the former Homer Avenue School. And these were schools that were done several years ago based on the initiative with the MOU for enrollment and kids back to the neighborhood schools. And since then, the county government leadership at that time supported these schools 100%. And at that particular time when the state could not support the capital improvement. And since then, we have been requesting the balance of funding for the last 10 years in the CIP. So this is the rest of the money that's due to the county government.
And is there a time limit, time constraint?
They can only PAYGO funds can be used to reimburse these projects because of the time.
It's already elapsed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it would have to be PAYGO.
Correct.
That's what was the second school? Mary what? Was it Mary?
Mary Harris Mother Jones.
Oh, Mother Jones. Okay.
Yep. It's an elementary school.
Okay.
Okay.
You can only borrow money to pay back for a certain limited period of time. And then
yeah, I believe that's correct. That's, I mean, you can only use the PAYGO money after a certain time has elapsed.
Yes.
Thank you.
These were the schools, when, if you remember, when we did the, when we ended the busing. Desegregation, we went back, and during the county executive legislature, allowed us to go ahead and build these neighborhood schools so they can, so the children can go back to the neighborhoods. And we did that to get the money that busing would have. But now, we're asking for the money.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you.